Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Here, have a squid.
All right, this is going straight up my nose.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Is it bad for me to move this chair this direction because of the kitty home?
There's no kitty in there right now.
Okay. I just didn't want to, like, you know, upset the balance of the living room.
I was going to say, you could probably just sit on the couch.
What? There's a cat there. Okay.
See, she hasn't moved for, like, 4 hours, so...
It's like, if... At our place... At our place, if I'm on the couch and then Abby decides to curl up on my lap, and then it gets to a point where I want to, like, have a beverage or something because my beverage is empty, I'll ask Sarah, will you please go to the kitchen and get me a beverage? And she's like, well, why can't you do it? I'm like, well, because there's a cat on my lap. And then she'll, like, you know, get mad at me for being completely stupid because, you know, just because I refuse to get up and move because of a cat being on my lap.
Well, Josh and me are the same way, except we're more understanding about cats on laps.
Yes.
Or babies on laps are even harder to get up from under.
Yes.
Hi, Willow.
Willow.
So how are we doing this?
I don't know. I figured... This is the part of the podcast where you introduce us to Alex and tell us how he came to be.
Is this all the same as the same podcast as the MarsCon recap?
MarsCon.
I'll probably put this first, though, because chronologically the baby was born first.
It's going to be a really long episode, then.
So, who cares? Did you hear the last episode?
No, I haven't heard any podcasts in 2 weeks.
Folks, we're listening to podcasts. There's nothing better than Floating Princess.
I heard like 10 minutes of the Mishki broadcast on the way to the doctor a week ago, and other than that, I haven't heard any podcasts since I was still pregnant.
Ferris, what are you doing?
I also need to make a note of there's that that segment we recorded when we for Cirque du Soleil weekend. We recorded that little, like, 10 minutes of us sitting at the table the night before we recorded everything. So now that the third album is out, either in this episode or the next episode after it, I want to plug that in there, that 10 minutes of us sitting around laughing about stuff.
Well, maybe we should save that for the Cirque du Soleil recap episode.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. All right, never mind then. Blech. So anyway, hi, this is Luke.
This is Carrie.
And at some point we started this podcast called...
Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
And we have a special guest.
It's me, Moonbeam.
So this makes it a bad rapport of destiny?
Yes.
And also, Ferris is here.
Ferris, what are you doing?
He's playing with the recycling.
He was 18 months old. Yeah, that worries me because the...
Cat cans
are sharp.
Yeah, he mostly goes after the Dunkin' Donuts cups. He was putting them on his hands and walking around like this, like a robot.
Also, Willow the cat is on the couch with us. Say hi, Willow. She's not very obedient.
And Buffy is in the kitchen, overseeing the kitchen kingdom.
And at my right breast, I have a baby.
Yes. He's not going to say anything right now because his mouth is full.
Say hi. See? Yeah, he's
Mommy's
not very obedient.
Mommy's boots are tasty.
He's not very obedient either. So,
Ferris. What's up, Ferris?
So, how are we going to describe this for the listeners?
Well, she is flinging him back and forth as if she were going to be, like, throwing him out a la Eddie Valiant and the Gorilla from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Like DJ Jazzy Jeff out the front door of Fresh Prince's house.
Just without the follow-through of actually letting go.
Because
Ferris seems to enjoy that motion.
He enjoys the sensation of falling.
I would also like to point out that Moonbeam has Hulk strength.
Yeah, I could not throw that thing.
Spider baby does whatever a spider baby does. Can't sweep.
whip. No, he can't, because he's a baby. Look out. That would be her holding Ferris upside down, of course.
Well, he's a spider baby.
He's a giggly little toddler. He likes Uncle Luke being around.
Yeah. You guys are taking off tomorrow?
Yeah.
Sad face. Sad face. Exactly.
So, when last we left you, the plan was you were going to go get induced and probably get a C-section on a certain date.
Well, it wasn't any probably C-section. It was possibly C-section.
Okay.
Careful, dude. I had the certain date of Sunday night, March 4th, where they were going to start the process, and the baby would have been born March 5th. But he had other plans because I started going into labor on the evening of February 28th. I didn't really know I was in labor at first. I was Gmail chatting Moonbeam, and I was like, well, here's the plan, unless these cramp-like feelings are actually contractions. And she's like, no, I don't think they are.
Well, because at that point, she's like, I've got some mild cramping. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, they checked you today.
Yeah, because I'd had a cervical...
I remember having some cramps after that.
I'd had a cervical exam earlier that day, where they kind of, like, you know, the doctor stuck her hand up in me and kind of messed with me.
That was apparently all you needed to jumpstart your labor.
Yeah, I'm fairly convinced that I wouldn't have gone into labor if it wasn't for that. But I might have... Who knows? I don't know. So I was timing contractions on my Android during Doctor Who, and Josh didn't know it. We were watching... I don't remember which episode now. And it was the second part of a two-parter.
Which doctor?
David Tennant.
Oh, okay. You're still in Tennant. All right.
Yeah, we haven't quite
through Tennant.
Yeah. We haven't quite got to Matt Smith yet. And, looks like there's some sunflower butter on the table leg. I was just about to put my foot there, and I'm like,
ew. Shouldn't be a huge surprise.
That sounds like a euphemism for something naughty. Got some sunflower butter on the table leg. Better loosen that harness or hey. I'm going to make dirty jokes in front of a baby because you don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
So I had mentioned before we ate dinner and watched Doctor Who that I thought maybe I was having real contractions. And Josh was just like, okay, yeah, whatever. Because, you know, I had a lot of fake contractions over the months. And then after Doctor Who was over, I showed him my timer and demonstrated that the pains were coming at regular intervals. And it was definitely a different type of pain than the fake contractions from earlier. And I waited, and then he was like, oh, wow. And I waited a couple more contractions before I started making a second round of phone calls that day. Because the first round was to all the important family members and the most important friends and to tell them what the plan was. And the second round of phone calls was to tell them, I guess the plan is changed. And that's at what point Moonbeam started frantically packing in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I was just at home enjoying an episode of Oddities, and suddenly I get another phone call.
All those baby noises are actually Ferris, by the way. If Alex makes noises, we'll let you guys know. So...
Is this mine that I just brought in?
I think.
Hooray!
I couldn't go to the hospital right away because that's not what you do unless your water breaks or something goofy happens. And so I was supposed to wait till the contractions were 5 minutes apart and then leave for the hospital, which is a half hour away. And it took many hours to get to that point, and I took a shower because I knew I wasn't going to get to take one for a while. And I tried to get some sleep, but I didn't get any at all. And the contractions were getting more and more painful and as time went on. And then I had come to the conclusion that I couldn't deal with them laying down anymore, and I had to stand up. And once I was standing up more often, then all of a sudden they had gone from like every 15 minutes to every every 4 minutes. They just skipped all of the intervals in between that. And the pain was like excruciating. I was like screaming like in a movie or something. And so we started getting ready to go to the hospital. And I made Josh take a shower. I'm like, okay, I'm going to ask you to do something and don't argue with me. Just do it. Go take a shower. Which is good because he didn't take another one for several days. And I had to get some crap together anyways. And we went to the hospital at 4 in the morning and, you know, at like every 5 minutes or so I was screaming in pain, and then everything would be fine for 4 minutes, and then I'd be screaming in pain. Whoa,
you okay?
Don't bump your skull. We have a bored toddler in the house.
Oh, you're fine, dude.
You're just making noise because you want Luke to react. Oh, and then you slipped.
Well, the sun went ducked behind a cloud at some point. And I'm not nursing, so maybe we could go outside.
Yay!
So, did you want to pause it and we can
sure.
Try to get something set up for
So we're pausing at Josh takes a shower. All right, pause.
Pregnant women are smug. Everyone knows it, nobody says it, because they're pregnant. Effing son of a gun. You think you're so deep now, you give me the creeps now that you're pregnant. I can't count all the ways how you speak in cliches now.
So, do you want a boy or a girl?
Oh, it doesn't matter as long as it's healthy.
Really? Because I don't feel like those two things are related at all. It's not like one or the other.
No, as long as it's healthy.
I can't wait to hear someone say, don't care if it's brain dead, don't care if it's limbless, if it has a penis. 'Cause pregnant women are smug. Everyone knows it, nobody says it, because they're pregnant. This end world you're enjoying makes you really annoying.
So, is it a boy or a girl?
Oh, we know, but we're not telling.
What are you gonna name it?
Oh, we know, but we're not telling.
Who's the father?
Oh, we know, but we're not telling.
Bitch, I don't really care. I was being polite now, since you have no life now that you're pregnant. You say you're walking on air. You think that you're glowing, but you had been hoeing, and now you're pregnant. You're just giving birth now. You're not Mother Earth now.
Yeah, I have a lot going on. I got my degree, I moved, I wrote a novel.
Gosh, everything just seems so trivial now that I'm pregnant.
I also built a nuclear fusion reactor.
You know, I can't even really remember what I did before I was pregnant. Everything just seems so meaningless.
Pregnant women are smug. Everyone knows it. Nobody says it because they're pregnant. Effing son of a gun. You think you're so deep now, you give me the creeps now. Now that you're pregnant.
He's like, I can't do this without shoes on.
Alright, well, I'm recording again.
Hi, so everybody.
I'll just hold the thing in my hand.
We're outside with no coats, walking in the grass with no shoes on March 15th.
Yes, they say
in Chicagoland.
Yeah, they say beware the Ides of March. I don't know what they're talking about because this is rather lovely.
Yeah, it creeps me out because, you know, it's March 15th, but as long as it's like this, we might as well enjoy it.
Did you find some dirt?
And Ferris is enjoying walking in the grass without shoes, which he's not used to doing. Don't eat that either.
It's better than the first time I took him somewhere with shag carpeting and he was crawling at that point and he couldn't figure out how to crawl in shag carpeting. It's like, this isn't normal floor.
And I'm wearing a baby who objects to being confined. He might not take well to some of these reps because he's a freedom-loving American.
I think as long as his head is free, he's usually happy. But when I try to, like, tuck his head in, he's like, stop that!
Yeah.
I want to be free!
So, where we left off is that Josh took a shower.
Okay, and then...
Nope, don't eat it.
I think I was explaining that we were in the car, and I did explain that we were in the car, and mm-hmm. there was excruciating pain and screaming and stuff. But it was like 4 in the morning, so we got there and the front door was to the hospital was locked, and we had to go to the back door, and there was just a security guard there, and we were like, can someone please escort her, you know, on this wheelchair to the labor and delivery, and he's, there's a little beehive under there.
Under where?
Right here, some sort of hive.
Oh, a little bit of a,
a wasp honeycomb. Nest. Yeah.
That's not good.
Probably doesn't have anything in it
at
this very moment.
I hope not.
Should probably knock it down before it truly turns into spring.
I'll get Josh to do it. I'm not going to do it. So, and now it's so hot that we have to go stand in the shade on March 15th in Chicagoland. I'm going to stay here. So, then the security guard was like, well, there's nobody here at this hour to escort you. If you need somebody to push you in a wheelchair to get up there, then you have to go to the ER. And I'm like, I'm not fucking going to the fucking ER. And so I started like hobbling off walking to labor and delivery down the long hallway. And Josh was like, no, 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 no. So he got the security guard to let him leave the car there with his flashers on. And then Josh took a wheelchair himself and pushed me. And he was, like, running and stuff. And, like, you have to wait till I get my feet up first. And then we went up to labor and delivery. And I threw up all the carrots and water that I had eaten in the car. And I was, like, screaming in pain and stuff, and it took like an hour and a half before everything was settled to the point where they could give me the epidural, which I needed. but they confirmed, no, this is definitely real labor. You're not having fake labor. I was 3 centimeters and fully effaced, and that means something to a few of you and nothing to the rest of you. And so heard from Moonbeam, and Moonbeam was hitting the road pretty soon after that. And her and Ferris, because Moonbeam is my doula, which most of you also don't know what that means. She's my helper.
Labor and postpartum support person.
She's my labor and postpartum support person.
Let's just phrase it that way for the uninformed.
So, once the epidural was in, I was suddenly a very happy camper. And they switched staff and the new nurse came in and was like, how are you doing? I'm like, okay. And everything she said she needed, or she needed a blood sample, I was like, okay.
Was that Dorcas?
Dorcas, yes. That was the name of Alex's delivery nurse, was Dorcas.
That is the most appropriate thing ever in the history of, yes, of appropriateness.
Exactly. Oh. Right?
Right. I know.
So... yeah, her first name was actually in actual real reality Dorcas. And at this point it was February 29th, which is a date that only occurs once every 4 years for those of you who somehow don't know that.
For those of you who are not from Earth, this is how Leap Day works.
So, I didn't need any Pitocin to strengthen my contractions. They were plenty strong, although once the epidural's really working, I literally was having contractions and could not feel them at all, which was a strong contrast. But I could feel other pains on my lower half, like random, you know, like discomfort and pain, but the contractions I couldn't feel at all. And Moonbeam showed up, but she had to wait in the hospital for an hour taking care of Ferris because she was waiting for the babysitter to show up. which was Luke.
Yes, because when I had gone to bed, the last time I had, you know, heard any information, was that, you know, like, oh, you know,
I told you I was having contractions.
Yeah, I knew that you were having contractions at that point.
And
but
he had agreed at the last second to babysit Ferris.
Yeah, because Megan
couldn't come.
To babysit him, could not.
I was supposed to be like third backup position, and then I got moved up to second backup position. And at which point I called Earl to say, look, you need to, you know, like the whole opening ceremony situation, I'm about to be unavailable. So, you know, things need to get rolling. Just so that I could let him know, as my main other person who helps me with MarsCon-related things, know that I'm about to be unavailable for probably the next 48 hours or so at least. But I went to bed, but I was kind of left to think like, oh, well, it's going to be a really slow, you know, moving process. And then by the time I woke up, it's like, we are having baby, where are you? Ah! You know, so I was late in getting out there because I had to kind of wake up, you know, get my shiznit together, get myself some food so that I will have eaten, you know, and drive out there, so... So once I got there, it was basically like, hey, here's Ferris. All right, see you later. And then I was, you know,
yeah,
attempting.
Yeah,
because
Moonbeam at that point was worried she was going to miss the birth.
Josh, sorry, you can't hear me around here. Come here.
Here, I'll come over here. So, yes, Moonbeam?
Josh had come down and said, all right, well, we're going to let Carrie take a nap, and then, like, I'll hang out down here with you while you wait for Luke, and then, like, we'll eventually go back up. Then, like, less than 2 seconds after he said that, he got a call from Carrie saying that pushing time was almost happening. So, and then it was probably still a half an hour till Luke showed up. So, I was kind of freaking out because I hadn't heard anything else from Josh. So, I was like, oh no, she's, like, already pushing. I have to be up there immediately. And I had, like... spent the whole night before, like, preparing things for Luke, like, because he had never taken care of Ferris before.
Hand wrote an entire page of notebook notes about how to take care of Ferris, like,
including
the single-spaced.
Including all of the sign language that Ferris knows, because Ferris knows that.
Yeah, and, like, I just didn't have time for any of that. Like, I didn't have time to tell him where, like, Ferris's snacks and diapers were, like, anything like that. So
nothing.
I literally was like, here's a baby. Feed him. Goodbye. And then I literally ran in the other direction. So
basically the original plan was that I was going to have been watching Ferris at Carrie's house, and then that turned into watching Ferris in the halls of the hospital in whatever random places I could find to keep him busy.
If she would have known how long you would be, though, she would have just taken him to your house.
The point is that it's my fault. So anyway, I started off, you know, in the cafeteria where I got him lunch, which consisted of hot dog, Cheetos.
Things that he doesn't usually eat.
Yeah, hot dog bun. I got one of those.
He gets Trader Joe's stuff.
Yeah, I got a fruit cup in the hopes that he would eat some fruit, but he seemed to enjoy feeding me the fruit more than actually eating it himself.
He's not a big fruit fan.
Yeah. Oh, and there were some French fries, so it was just kind of like, you know, being thrown into it. I'm like, I'll get him something food eaty here, have this so that you're not a hungry kid. And then the rest of the time, we eventually found this one little corner of the hospital where it seemed to be away from the general public, and I could, you know, kind of, you know, keep him occupied with his toys while also running like football defense to keep him from running off. Just be like, all right, play here. Okay, no, come back over here, stay in this corner. And, you know, we hung out there most of the time.
And he was worried that people would look at... You were worried that people would look at you weird for hanging out with a blonde toddler.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, there's no... I have no proof on me of any kind that I have any connection to this child, so...
Well, technically, I could have any proof in my purse yet that I have any connection to this child.
I don't have any proof ever that... Well, I... People just have to assume.
Well, with, you know, I mean, how many times am I watching TV and all of a sudden these Amber Alerts come up about
you're blonde,
dudes, you know.
He's blonde. I mean, he literally looks like he could be your son or your nephew or something.
I mean, granted, he was playing with an Alvin from Alvin and the Chipmunks movie Happy Meal toy, so, you know, the connection to me, to those who know me, would be obvious, but, you know, anyway. So anyway, enough about me. That was the unimportant part of the story. Let's get back to the Carrie creates life part of the story.
Well, we did a test push, and the nurse felt I needed another hour, which turned into more like 2 hours, I think, of waiting for the contractions to get the baby.
I think it was less than 2 hours, probably, but...
Maybe 90 minutes. Waiting for the baby to get closer to the exit way, because... You know, pushing is not exactly, okay, it's out, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of pushing goes into getting the baby to move a little way. So she wanted the contractions to do the work for me. But they could touch the head. They could reach into me and touch the head. And I asked to do the same thing, which they seemed to think was weird because I guess most... Mamas don't ask to put their own fingers up their own, their own,
baby holes.
And so they gave me some gloves to wear so I could touch the top of his head. And I, that was like a whoa moment for me. Like, oh God, oh, holy shit. Oh my God. You know? And, so I never did get any sleep. I passed the time chatting about unrelated things with Moonbeam, which helped the time go by better. And then it was really actual pushing time, and Josh would have one leg pushed up like with my knee towards my face, and Moonbeam would have the other leg. And then there's like a cast of thousands in the room of medical professionals.
There were a lot of people in there.
Because it's a teaching hospital, so there's, you know, the actual doctors and nurses, and then you're swaying exactly in time with me.
Yes, I am.
I'm swaying with the baby, wearing the baby in a wrap, and Luke is exactly swaying with me as if he was my shadow.
Would you like me to stop?
I don't care, I guess. So it was pushing time, and it's hard. It didn't hurt, though, I guess, because of the epidural, but it, you know, it was really hard work. It's like, it's basically like, you know, you're trying to poop the biggest poop of your entire life, literally. You know, like, I had to, like, no, don't engage these muscles, engage these other muscles that are used for pooping. And, you know, they brought out a mirror, and I could see the top of Alex's head. Oops, sorry.
It's okay.
Zen player. And I could see that he had blonde hair. And it took like an hour of pushing, not constantly, because they wait for the contraction to happen. And sometimes they could tell from their machines, and other times I could tell from, like, okay, here comes the urge to push. And so I get breathers in between each contraction, and then three really, really intense, like 10-second or more pushes where they specifically asked me to hold my breath, which was hard. But, and like Holly had, our friend Holly had said some advice on Facebook earlier where she was like, make sure to breathe when you're pushing, but like these guys are like, no, you should hold your breath during the pushes. So it was really tough, and at one point, like, I thought his head was out, and that's when I found out, no, his head was like a third of the way out. And that made me feel a little discouraged.
He just raised his eyebrows. He went like this.
Yes, he has a very expressive face. Just like mommy and daddy's.
You should dress him as Lawrence Avenue for Halloween.
Well, I'll tell you later some on little costumey outfit I already have for him.
Cool.
Although I'm not sure if it will fit by Halloween. Probably won't. But anyways. So, you know, we were pushing and pushing, and I found out his head was still partially out and just coming out in little bits. And at one point, his head was like two-thirds of the way out and out. Then I kept suddenly asking, what's that vibrating? What's that vibrating? What's that vibrating? And Josh and Moonbeam and everybody in the room had no idea what I was talking about. Hmm. And I'll get back to that.
Okay.
So so that once the head came out, then it's time to push the shoulders out, but that came really easily. So I had been worried, you know, that he might get his little shoulders stuck in there, but he didn't. And he was birthed, and Moonbeam took a picture of him just coming out, and he was all slimy and still connected on the umbilical cord, and Josh cut the umbilical cord, and I couldn't really see him very well, and I saw that he had a cone head at the time, like really seriously cone-shaped cone head,
mm-hmm.
which started correcting itself pretty quickly. So, for people that don't know, babies' skulls have like little panels, and then they have like the soft spot, and that's all for the specific purpose of their heads being able to change shape to get out of the birth canal. So he literally had a cone head when he was born. And as soon as I saw his little face, I knew he looked exactly like Daddy. Because we have Josh's baby pictures, and it's kind of uncanny. And, but I didn't get to hold him right away because the NICU team wanted to do all this stuff. He had breathed in some meconium, which is the fetal version of poop. He had taken some of that into his lungs, and so they had to do some stuff to get that out of his lungs and put him under the warmer. And what was Moonbeam saying the whole time? The whole time they had him under the warmer, and I didn't get to hold him yet.
Oh, I kept asking them about like when you were gonna get to take him, because it seemed like they just like left him in the warmer and left the room. Like it seemed unnecessary because your body heat would have warmed him up too. So yeah, and so I was a little angry at them that they were just like leaving him in the warmer for a long time when he should be having like unlimited skin to skin contact immediately. Yeah.
Like he's a Quickie Mart hot dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
it was so unnatural. I was just
Yeah. Newborn babies are supposed to get skin to skin like pretty fairly immediately upon being born, but they just kept him under the warmer for like forever, and I just kept like, hey Josh, can you move? You know, because the baby was across the room and I couldn't see him. And, like, they brought him over to me, like, once really quick to look at him and, you know, put him back. And by the time I actually got to hold him, it had been almost an hour, I think. He was born at 1:55 p.m., by the way. So I finally got to hold him, and Moonbeam was there to help me try to get him latched onto the breast. And he latched on pretty well for a newborn. And, was eaten away and holding him skin to skin for a while, and then it was Josh's turn to hold him, and Josh was crying. I wasn't, I guess, because I have a heart of ice, but so Now, interestingly, this even before he was born, we had been asked if we wanted to be interviewed by the news. And you probably didn't hear about this.
Well, no, you told me.
I did tell you.
Yeah, when I went up there to visit for like 5 minutes before I left.
Sarah's ready to go inside.
Okay.
That's unusual.
Yeah.
His nap was pretty short today.
Yeah, he's a little grouchy.
Well, I'm kind of enjoying it out here, but maybe we can go in. I'm kind of enjoying it out
here,
but...
me too. Maybe I can get him distracted again. We saw a snake behind the garage.
We saw a garter snake?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
We were walking back there, it like all of a sudden was slithering on a rock. I'm like, look, a snake!
So early for the garter snakes.
Snake!
Me and Josh love the garter snakes. They came to live here last spring, but when we came back after Memorial Day weekend, they were gone already, and we never saw them again.
Remind me later to tell you a funny story about Stephanie seeing a snake. But anyway, we should get back to your story, because it's the news.
the news was supposedly going to interview us for having had a baby on February 29th. But every time the, like, little news, like, gopher person would show up, we would be like, no, we're entirely not ready for you right now, and then they were supposedly going to show up in the evening, and they totally stood us up, so we didn't get interviewed.
Aww.
But there were some more important things for us to worry about than being ready for the stupid news, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although that would have been kind of appropriate if that had happened, because then you'd have the, how did you and Josh meet, was that place?
Nerds at Heart.
You would have had the Nerds at Heart article, and then like bookending it would be the news article.
No,
about,
I totally,
yeah.
Yeah, trust me, that didn't escape my attention. But, so. Didn't happen. So, but I gave birth on February 29th anyway.
Yeah, and then Ken showed up at the hospital at some point.
Yeah, and he was hanging out with you and Ferris.
Yeah, basically, mainly Moonbeam and Ken were the ones running upstairs and doing things, and I was mainly downstairs keeping an eye on Ferris, you know. But we got you some hospital food because you guys were, like, starving and wanting real food.
Yeah, so, like, from their cafeteria, there was a cheeseburger and fries for Josh, and then a salad for me, which I didn't eat. I mean, basically, I think the thing when breastfeeding, especially at first, is eating, you know, is both necessary and really difficult to actually accomplish. So I found myself not getting a lot of food intake, except for just like, okay, I've got 2 minutes, time to shove things in, wah, 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 you know. So something I noticed when I was like watching his face, I don't know if it was the first time I held him or if it was a subsequent time, but he does something with his mouth. He doesn't do much anymore, but he used to do it all the time,
mm-hmm.
where his mouth would tremble. Like his mouth was trembly, mm-hmm. and like it was this really strong tremble action with his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that's the vibrating that I felt when I was delivering him was his own mouth trembling when his mouth was at that part of the birth canal. So so other than the February 29th thing, that's like the most interesting thing about my delivery probably is that his mouth trembly thing and me asking, what's that vibrating? What's that vibrating? And it had to be that because it couldn't have been anything else because
mm-hmm.
nothing else was vibrating. So, but I mean, you know, I was really surprised that I didn't need a C-section and that I didn't need Pitocin and, you know, was really surprised at how much I did need the epidural, which is a really weird experience because once you get that, you can barely move your legs. It's like almost dead weight.
Yeah.
Like, if you need to roll from one side to the other, I need the nurse and Josh there and, you know, about 5 minutes to roll from one side to the other. And every time they would leave the room, I'd be calling Josh to come back because my leg had fallen off the edge of the bed and I couldn't get it back up. So that's kind of like the sucky thing about the epidural, or one of the sucky things about it. But, so, for the rest of the hospital stay, it was me and Josh kind of trying to get them to let us leave early because we felt like they weren't letting us sleep because there'd be a parade of medical professionals coming in every freaking hour all night long. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's hard enough to sleep when you're taking care of the newborn and they're doing this to us all night long, and we didn't want to spend a second night there. So we spent like all of March 1st trying to get them to let us go home, which took some doing, because first they didn't want to let us, there was certain doctors on the team that didn't want to let us go because I was exclusively breastfeeding, and they didn't believe that I could know how to do that quickly. But I had a moonbeam, which is how I knew how.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, are you sweaty under there? Me too. Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. That's Alex's noises. Okay, are you sleepy again? He's debating between sleepiness and wanting to nurse. I think he just made up his mind. It's a press call.
Okay.
I used to talk about politics, politics, politics. I used to talk about politics, but I don't anymore. I used to talk about communism, socialism, capitalism. I used to talk about all those isms, but now I'm a dad and all I talk about is baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo, baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo. I used to rant about traffic problems, fender benders, stupid signs. I used to fear an accident, but now I stay at home and talk about baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo, baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo. Sometimes it's all brown and gooey. Sometimes it looks like Dijon mustard. Sometimes it's like melted crayon. Sometimes it just smells like poo. I used to talk about philosophy, Kafka, Descartes, Socrates. Used to think metaphysically, but now I think the world revolves around baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo, baby poo, baby poo. All I talk about is baby poo. Sometimes it feels just like stucco. Sometimes it feels like jello pudding. Sometimes it's like avocado. Sometimes she just pees on me. I used to be real interesting, discussing issues of the day. But now I call up my MP and tell her all about my baby poo.
Baby poo, baby poo.
All I talk about is baby poo.
Baby poo, baby poo.
All I talk about is baby poo.
Baby poo, baby poo.
All I talk about is baby poo.
Baby poo, baby poo.
All I talk about is baby poo.
Ice cream truck adventures in March.
Okay.
Relatch. Relatch again. At that point, I was already spilling all over the place.
What are you looking at, dude? What are you looking at, little dude?
Your ice cream.
You want more?
Mommy was mean enough to not even get real ice cream.
Open wide. Open wide. Breastfeeding newborns is hard.
This has been my favorite ice cream truck treat since I was a child.
Open wide. I got lots more where that came from.
So after a brief visit to the ice cream truck.
In March.
And Alex is visiting the milk bank, or at least he was.
What do you have to say, dude? Can you sing? Sing! Ferris, can you give us a song?
Ferris, can you say hi?
Hi!
Hi!
Say it, Ferris.
He's busy eating right now.
Oh, he clapped. Yay!
I'm sure if you hand him that thing later, he'll talk into it. He'll pretend it's a phone and speak.
So, I wasn't kidding when I said I was spilling.
Oh, yeah. I would say. Mm-hmm.
Oh, now you're hungry again?
Carrie is a milk carnival.
A milk carnival.
That's like the Brazilian steakhouse is the meat carnival.
Me and Sarah went to one of those. Oh my god.
Yeah. It's so good. So much meat. I took Bill to one, actually, when we were out here. And then we were hanging out with Carrie and Josh later that day, and they were like, oh, so what do you want to do for dinner? We're like, dinner? We're like rolling down the street as it is. We ate at 11 a.m.
You drinking some coffee, Ferris?
When you're done with your ice cream, if you could grab a hat and socks for the baby.
Mm-hmm. There was a hat right around here somewhere.
This is the one that doesn't stay on.
Hats are supposed to stay on.
He only has one hat that stays on, and it says baby on it. Because, you know, just in case you were forgetting.
There's four.
And we don't know where that hat went to. You have a giant baby skull. Giant baby skull. Did you record any of your ice cream truck adventure?
No, but I took pictures.
Yay!
I gotta see those pictures.
You're cute.
Thanks for taking pictures.
Did I accidentally tug on your hair? He's got long hair in the back, like a mullet. I don't remember where we were in the story. Oh, I was trying to get the hospital to let me go.
Yep.
And so they wouldn't believe that, you know, a first-time mom could know how to breastfeed unless she was in the hospital two nights instead of one.
Because, you know, one more day makes all the difference.
And so, you know, we had to convince someone on that. And then we found out his bilirubin blood test wasn't tested because the lab let the blood clot before they got around to testing it.
Mm.
And so they had to come do another heel stick, which was looked like it was excruciatingly painful, to get another... This sock is huge on you. To get some more blood to do another bilirubin test. And that took hours of waiting. And then we thought we were finally going to get to leave, and then they were like, well, no, social work wants to talk to you because you have a history of depression. So then we couldn't leave until social work came and talked to us. Aww. So, of course, as soon as she came in, I was all smiles for the social work lady. And I answered all of her, aww. You don't like socks? You don't like socks? You don't like socks? You don't like hats? The only thing I like is boobs, Mommy. Trust me, I got plenty more.
Nothing but boobs for President the Baby.
Ooh, there. That was a nice wide open mouth. He may be...
I have a random part on my arm.
He may need more milk than usual today because it's hot and muggy on March
15th. Yeah, it's really humid out. Like, ridiculous.
I got in my car. I'm like, wow, seriously? I brought my coat thinking I might need it.
Yeah, you didn't. So, you know, social work, you know, took forever waiting for them, and they came in and took forever talking to us, and, you know, I made sure to smile a lot, and she let us go. And so finally at 9 p.m. they discharged us. They gave me somebody else's discharge papers at one point, which is probably not very professional.
Yeah.
I had some Diane lady's discharge papers instead of mine at one point.
And a prescription, too, right?
Yeah, her name was on some of my prescriptions.
Yeah?
So that would be the toddler.
Look, he just burped. Are you going to smack him now?
He doesn't know, and I can't get over there to smack him anyways.
Okay.
I think I would have a problem with that.
Nah.
You are aware of that rule, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
This ain't no pot of destiny, goddammit.
Well, as a parent, aren't I responsible for...
Gentle.
All of his...
The cats... Well, I'll get to the cats later, but, I want to take some more nipple. Here you go. Luke doesn't know how this works. He just thinks it's funny.
Well, there are so many times I thought to myself, though, there's an episode title, you know. Josh takes sour, takes some more nipple, you know.
We'll come across the episode title when we
Carrie's
come across
baby
it.
Hole, you know, there's...
Oh, God, no. No.
Or President Baby, as TV's Kyle is now saying.
So, they finally discharged us. We came home. We got food at Wendy's.
Ice cream?
And we had a couple rough nights because Alex was screaming his head off a lot, even though he was eating off the breast, and... you know, we didn't know what was wrong. It was clear my milk had come in and I was definitely producing milk. And he was definitely latched on and eating, but there was something wrong. There's like something wrong in the, you know, transfer of the milk. And, I guess we just accidentally turned on the breast pump.
Was that my fault?
I guess, because I don't think I touched it.
I don't know. I had my hand resting here, but I didn't turn
anything
on.
Maybe your knee touched it or something, Carrie.
I don't know. Anyways, so the doctor, he had had a couple doctor appointments already by Saturday. He was born on a Wednesday, by the way. And the doctor had said he's lost too much weight and... you need to start supplementing with formula. So, and that kind of freaked me out because, you know, I want to be exclusively breastfeeding mommy, and because I didn't want to introduce the bottle too early and have him refuse the breast. So we had to do a bunch of research and make some phone calls. And long story short was a lactation consultant came.
What happened? Did you bump your head?
What happened, Ferris? This is kind of like how every episode will be from now on, except the toddler part won't be for till later.
You're fine.
You hugging the chair? Oh! Boom.
Saddest boy ever.
Here.
Don't think he likes that you're not paying enough attention to him.
Am I not paying enough attention to you, Varys?
I'm
not paying enough attention.
He loves male attention.
He misses daddy, I bet.
Yeah, he does. It was fun when daddy was here last weekend.
Oh, he came out?
Mm-hmm. For like 24 hours.
Slightly longer than that, I think. Maybe.
But not quite 36 hours.
No.
It was short.
So.
Yeah, it was more like 24 hours.
So breastfeeding versus formula problems led to...
Like, the short version of the story is the lactation consultant came out that Saturday and saw that Alex wasn't taking enough milk, opened his mouth, looked at it, and saw that he had a condition called tongue tie, which means the, is it called the frenulum?
Mm-hmm.
This part, a little, you know, guitar string part that holds your tongue to the bottom of your mouth was too tight on him. So how far out can you stick your tongue, Luke? Yeah, you don't have tongue tie. But
I can also do this.
Yeah. Josh, this...
I can flip mine.
This is the farthest out. Josh can stick his tongue.
Yeah.
About an inch at the most. So Josh has tongue tie and Alex had it, and now I have a phone call.
I will pause while you take this phone call.
Welcome to the Blues Walk, except that we can't walk. So we call this Blues Stroke. First to brought us up is
a baby
Froggy Johnson. He got some words to say. He said he.
My mama took my bottle, she took away my apple juice.
That's what she did. Yeah.
I said my mama took my bottle, she took away my apple juice. Lord knows, I got squishy in my tushy. I got myself second double blue. Come on, J. tell me, brother.
Well, said my nanny up and left me. I can't find that girl nowhere.
Where's she going?
I said my nanny up and left me. Oh, I no. can't find that woman nowhere. So I'm just sitting here, my hot chair crying, putting SpaghettiOs in my hair. I said my papa turned off the TV, took my Barney show away.
No way, brother.
I said my no good, low down, dirty dog, daddy turned off the TV, took my Barney show away.
Oh, Lord, no.
And it won't let me watch a Teletubbies. He said Tinky Winky's gay.
Oh, no way.
In the trunk, and what do I find? Ain't no spare tire, got a stinky behind. My mama, mama, yeah. Hanging down to my shoes. Better hurry up and change me. Got that saggy diaper blues. Saggy diaper blues. Mm-hmm. Oh. And alcohol. And a mobile hanging up there just laughing at me. Got a dug down, dirty kind of tiny. No, 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 no. I got a damn saggy diaper blues.
All right.
Okay, so Alex had tongue tie, and that's why he wasn't taking in enough breast milk. So we had a long night of giving him. So you demanded that nipple just so you could fall asleep on it? We had a long night of feeding him formula through a skinny tube in a thing called a supplemental nursing system, or SNS. So that I didn't have to introduce a bottle along, and putting the tube on my nipple when I was awake, or on somebody's finger when I was asleep, or putting some formula from a dropper into his mouth. Long night of trying to get him enough nourishment until his Sunday morning appointment, where he had his little frenulum snipped from a doctor with a surgical scissors so that he could stick his tongue out and lick ice cream cones like normal people and be able to drink breast milk. Yeah. And it was, you know, scary, but it was fine. It didn't even really bleed. And then after that, everything was fine, and we never had to use formula again since then. He seems to be getting big and chubby, and he has another doctor appointment tomorrow to see how big he is. And they could probably tell me he was 9 pounds. I probably wouldn't be surprised. Since I didn't already say this, he was born at 8 pounds, 4 ounces and 21 inches long.
I think I was 8 pounds, 7 ounces.
Yeah, so he wasn't the gigantic baby that we were expecting, but he's getting giganticer. He's too long for some of the newborn-sized outfits. Already. So, otherwise we've had over 2 weeks with Moonbeam and Ferris here, and hey. Auntie Moonbeam has been a huge help, and I haven't had any stretch of sleep longer than 4.5 hours since the kid was born, but, you know, a breastfeeding mom is not really supposed to get large stretches of sleep, because that messes up breast milk production if it isn't continually tapped. then it messes up production. But I'm starting to adjust. I'm starting to feel normal at times. And we're starting to find places other than in our arms where Alex will sleep, because as much as I'd like to sleep in the same bed with him, which is called co-sleeping, he's really tiny and it's kind of scary. Josh keeps having dreams about losing the baby in the blankets. And we haven't actually slept in the bed with him. I nursed him in bed a couple times. But, so, we're not ready for that because he's so tiny. But, he'll sleep in that little rocker over there. He'll sleep in that swing, but I don't like to put him in it because his head will always come down like this. And,
into chest.
Yeah, which isn't a good position.
Visual thing I knew wouldn't work on me yet. Podcast.
Chin to chest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes he'll sleep in this goofy setup we've got in the bedroom where there's a co-sleeper, which is totally different from co-sleeping. It's like a crib that connects to the bed. And inside the co-sleeper, we have a baby nest, which is something that's meant to be put on the bed. It's like a little, baby container. And sometimes he'll sleep in there. He hasn't slept in there in several days now, but he's going to probably be sleeping in there more now that Moonbeam's leaving. But he likes to stay up at night and sleep in the day. And the cats have been very good. They don't mess with them, which I was worried about. And they're not scared of him, which I was also worried about. They're a little more concerned with Ferris. They don't like Ferris.
Not so much. They let Ferris pet them several times, but then he usually gets a little too rough, and they don't take that. So.
So he's 15 days old, and he's a joy. He's well loved. The thing that did make me cry was when I thought about the two nights when he was like half starving and we didn't know that. I just thought, well, I guess he's just a screamer and screaming is something that he just does whether or not there's a reason. But there was a reason. And it kind of tore me up and made me cry several times to think about, how upset he was and how he wasn't getting the nourishment he needed and I didn't know it and how he was getting skinny and his skin was getting wrinkly, but that's in the past.
Well, it's
in the past.
It was a fluke of genetics. It wasn't,
Yeah, and it's not like Josh knew he had tongue tie. Yeah. It's just something that never came up, It's like, oh, you guys can stick your tongue out that far? I can't.
Mm-hmm. It's not like you were doing it on purpose, like a mom who insists that her baby only needs to eat every 4 hours and just lets them cry, too,
Which is what a lot of moms do. I'm not sleep training him or anything like that because he's a freaking newborn. Mm-hmm. he needs to have his needs met, and I need to rise to the occasion as best as I can, and that makes him a pretty happy baby most of the time. He doesn't scream that much, contrary to what you've recorded already. He doesn't like getting his diaper changed, but, I don't think I would either. It's tough, because I think being a newborn is hard enough, and then he wasn't getting enough food.
There was a problem. You guys, with the help of the doctors, figured out the solution, and, now he's a happy baby.
He's a pretty happy baby. He's getting his needs met. He gets to be held and worn and fed and loved on. And he's got a very expressive face. He likes to study faces and, he mm-hmm. likes to scowl. He likes to go like this.
He does the Derek Zoolander Magnum face.
Yeah, with a completely round mouth that looks like he's trying to suck a straw. with surprised eyes. And he giggles in his sleep, and sometimes he smiles a little bit. He also smiles in his sleep. He seems really annoyed that I took my nipple away from him.
Why would you
do
such a thing?
Oh. Because he was hurting me. We're trying a pacifier with him sometimes.
I was wrong.
Yay. He's the next Maggie Simpson.
Until he says sequel.
Oh, hello, Willow. Do you have things to say?
No.
She sniffs the Zen player.
Yes. So, Moonbeam, do you have anything else to add to this whole wacky adventure?
Not really. Carrie pretty much got it all. I've been taking the first shift of the night pretty much every night, so, and staying up.
And then I get up at 2-ish and take the second night shift.
I also take the first morning shift-ish after weak coffee.
and then we stay up the rest of the day, generally.
Coffee is a verb, right?
That's kind of our routine now. But I'll have to get used to trying to get to bed like when Josh gets home, so Josh can take care of the baby for a few hours while mommy sleeps, and Willow needs to be brushed. And, do you want to tell some Ferris stories from the past couple weeks?
Sure. Ferris has been bored, so he's been getting into a bunch of things. His first couple of days with having the baby around, he was insanely jealous and decided that every time the baby nursed, he also needed to nurse, which is unusual because he had cut down his nursing to, like, 4 or 5 times a day, so he was nursing, like, you know, 10 times
a day. Did you just lick the baby?
Yes, did.
Willow just licked the baby.
We just recorded the first cat lick on the baby.
I'm gonna give Alex a kiss. Yeah. He loves to give Alex kisses now. But yes.
Now
so.
What's this wet spot?
Yeah, I was wondering that. I think it might be a diaper wet spot.
Oh. Hi, Willow. Look, she's clinging to my knees. She's like, I'm gonna get on this lap. I don't care how.
You want to say hi?
It's
not like a video game, dude. If you,
he always takes my phone and walks around with it, so that's probably what he thinks he's going to.
What does he usually say? Hi.
Yep. He's
hey, Ferris, can you say cheese? Cheese. Bread? You don't want to say anything right now?
Sure.
Auntie Moonbeam, do you want to change a diaper?
Sure.
Don't get to do much more of that with this one.
I was going to say, I get to do it a whole heck of a lot in my real life.
So.
But not with a newborn.
Gary, tell some stories of Ferris and Alex, I guess. That's what I was in the process of.
I know. Well, Ferris has been watching a lot of his favorite show, which is the only thing that really sedates him, which is, we don't want to say the name in front of him, Yo Gabba Gabba. It's a great show.
Yes, I have not.
And Josh have been enjoying it, too.
I had only seen, like, one full episode before, hanging out at Earl and Holly's place a couple of years ago.
Yashish. So. Yashish.
You're saying hashish. You want some marijuana. Oh, man, that was almost the most epic spit take ever all over me. That would have been so epic.
Wow. Did you hear that, Moonbeam?
No.
He goes, you're saying hashish. You want some marijuana.
Babies.
When he keeps saying yes, sheesh.
Babble brought to you by Fair Snacks.
Brought to you by High Times Magazine.
And, Ferris, don't go up there.
No,
Bobby.
Ferris, dude, you're going to fall down.
Ferris also has the most adorable smile.
I gotcha.
I'm the longest blonde hair that Mommy does not want to cut.
You're listening to Bad Rapport, the most unedited podcast ever.
Except for other unedited podcasts.
Yes.
So I didn't say much other than...
So Ferris was jealous of Alex, so
yep.
Wanted to nurse.
All the time. And, is it still jealous when Alex is in my lap sometimes? Yeah.
The first couple of nights with the baby here were rough for Moonbeam because... Ferris would wake up in the middle of the night and insist
no.
on...
No!
No! No, no!
Don't touch that, Alex.
No, no.
Ferris. That one's Alex. That one's Ferris.
Alex doesn't touch much yet.
He would, like... He's been nightweaning for a couple months now, and that means he doesn't breastfeed in the middle of the night anymore. And the first couple of nights I was here, he would wake up and scream for like an hour and a half in bed with me. It's not like I was letting him like cry it out in his own bed.
Yeah, like
because
they were
even crying it out.
They were, you know, she was cuddling him
and trying to soothe him in bed, and even offering for him to nurse, and he would just keep screaming and screaming for like an hour and a half.
She was so worried that the night weaning was gonna get all undone, but then we had to put Ferris and Moonbeam in separate bedrooms.
Which is sad, because, I miss the days when he could go sleep with me, but it just doesn't work anymore. So.
It doesn't work right now, anyway.
Well, it didn't work. It started not working when he was about a year old. He would just want to party every time I had him in bed with me, so...
Yeah.
So, that's when he started basically sleeping in his own room all the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, and then he had a lot of mornings of waking up.
Thank you.
Adjusting to the time change. He would wake up at 4 or 4:30. But now he's adjusted his schedule. So, he's doing better.
He likes it when I kiss his face. Because he thinks my face is a boob.
So, when the couple of times, well, not counting the hospital, when I was here watching Ferris, he was,
cheese? Hi. Hugs?
It was just kind of a case of me continually following him around, trying to, A, keep him occupied, and B, keep him from falling down and hitting his head. So,
those are both very important things.
Yes.
The hitting his head is kind of unavoidable a lot of the time, but...
Yeah. Because, you know...
He does fall on his cloth diaper bum a lot.
Yeah, he's got a lot of padding from his cloth diapers when he falls down, but... Yeah, when he had just learned how to walk, his head was, like, constantly covered in bruises. Because, like, no matter what I did, less of putting, like, a helmet on him, it was not going to prevent him from hurting himself.
Yeah.
So.
It's like that one day was, like, he wanted to play on the air mattress.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of, like, playing with him on the air mattress, but I had to be, like, a soccer goalie to keep him from, like, standing up too quick and then rolling off the side and, like, bonking his head on the floor.
I think he just went to shut the cat's closet door again.
No doors are allowed to be open.
But you got to tell the great story from a
couple days ago.
Well, did he do anything funny when his daddy was here? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
But then a couple days ago, he was Dennis the Menace for you.
Yeah. He woke up with kind of a bad diaper rash, which is not typical for him. So I had him running around with no bottom on to try to air out a little. And he, like, knowingly peed on the floor. Like, he knew he was doing it. He stood there and was like, hey, look what I'm doing. This is cool. And then later on in the morning, he learned to like bananas while we were here. So I was giving him pieces of banana. And he kept coming back and asking for more. And I thought he was eating them. But instead, he was shoving them through the holes on the DVD racks. And he would shove them through the holes on the second layer, and they'd fall to the bottom. And then he would smush them down through the holes. Oh, man. So I had to, like, try to get them out of there without, like, the whole shelf falling over. And I couldn't just lift it because it's pretty heavy. So, yeah.
And he, what's Ferris doing?
Probably in the recycling.
Ferris.
What are you doing, dude?
Come here, buddy.
He's sitting on one of those suitcases.
Yeah, he likes that.
Are you a kitty cat? You probably shouldn't be messing with that dude. Here, give me that. Let's go back in by Mom and by Carrie, okay? Woo!
Here, big boy.
Oh, that he's been moving things from one place to another.
He won't leave anything where it is.
So
especially on that TV tray table over
yeah.
there.
That has to be empty at all times, apparently. Is he still
mainly putting his water thing on the
filing cabinet?
Yeah.
Yeah, he still does that a lot, but not as much as he did when we first got here. That's my nose. Why are your fingers in it?
And he was moving groceries from one grocery bag to another.
That was across the kitchen.
And moving recycling from the recycling bin to the garbage can.
Anarchy.
Kisses. He wanted to kiss Alex, right? Kiss Alex?
Aww.
So nice. Sweet.
So gentle.
So I took him to...
He's like, people pay attention to me when I do this.
That's so sweet.
So the other day I took him to Kidstown for a couple hours.
So that Moonbeam could take a nap.
Yeah. And that's an interesting place, because they got kind of one of those, like, you know, fast food restaurant play place climby areas, and they also have a bunch of little rooms each that's designed to look like, it's a dance room, it's a princess room, it's a fire station, it's a police station, there's a gingerbread house, there's a little store, there's an area with construction, and there's a room for books. And all kinds of different stuff. So he kept kind of tooling around from one place to the other. And he kept wanting to go in, like, the play place climby area. But there were a lot of, like, four-year-olds who were, like, running around like crazy maniacs. And I kept being afraid that the four-year-olds were going to have a complete disregard for the one-and-a-half-year-old.
Yeah.
And just, like, jump and plow into them. Because there was this thing that was kind of, like, five... round soft things that were kind of sort of meant to be stairs, but you could also kind of slide down them slowly with kind of a you know. So he was having
like a bumpy slide or
yeah. So basically he kept loving climbing up it, getting to the top, and then sliding down it either on his stomach or on his butt. Oh, you got this.
He's playing with his rainbow tie-dye play cloth. Play silk.
Yes, play
silk. Oh, it's you! I totally didn't know it was you. There.
I just thought it was a rainbow ghost in the room.
It's Jerry Garcia.
They look like fun.
Yay, it's you.
Even his ghost is tie-dye.
But like, the four-year-olds were constant. There were these two four-year-olds in particular that kept, like, you know, really quick, running up and then, like, literally, like, watch me do this. And then they would, like, leap off of it and, like, slam down on the part. And, of course, they weren't getting hurt because it's all padded. But I'm just afraid, like, one of them is going to, their knees is going to clock him in the head or, like, send him tumbling.
You weren't afraid of him getting hurt on the equipment. You were afraid of him getting hurt by other kids.
Yeah. And you know, so fortunately he never did, but it was still making me nervous the whole time. It's like, you know, this is, if I screw this up, Carrie's never going to let me help take care of Alex ever. If he ends up in the hospital because of a knee to the head from some four-year-old going, you can see, look at what I can do.
Where'd mommy go?
This just in, mommy was underneath the tie-dye sheet. Film at 11.
Where's mommy?
Yes. So.
She's so good at making him giggle. I'm like taking notes on almost everything Moonbeam does.
It's not hard to make him giggle.
bizarre, bizarro, bizarro, genius baby. Bizarre, bizarro, bizarro, genius baby. That I fathered a bizarro genius baby. She's out the womb like,
dude, why'd I get expatriated?
Debated at 1 month the finer points of a diaper. Devised a device composed of a hose and a windshield wiper. Grew riper in intellect as the months passed. Wore a dunce cap ironically. Grew fussy once and she summoned me, not sonically, but through a series of editorials that she authored, entitled, "Is MC Funna Not One of the Worst Fathers?" Oxford, Stanford, Harvard called, shouldn't call him back.
Tuition and housing, I'm holding out for a day.
Distracted by her first birthday party, I hardly noticed that she'd brought peace to the Middle East, or at least a ceasefire with the POTUS. No dust had settled when she disproved Fermat by finding A cubed plus B cubed that equals C cubed, and her sadness at throwing the field into disarray got a sway by a brand new rattle in a mid-parfait. Bizarro genius, baby. At first I was elated, but eventually I grew concerned. Bizarro genius, baby. Prove my genes a grade A, but what of when tables turn? She had to settle for the field's medal, but didn't settle well. All the while, cursing the indiscretions of let them know Bell then so well. Tuck it out, was she at this point that she napped? Arose with the whole symphony composed in B flat. Yes, dear, it'll go with the other ones on the fridge. In between the two Puccinis, you translated in the bridge. Just above, I love you, Dad, in macaroni glitter, and the 37 villanelles to Mom. But I ain't bitter, and no quitter was she neither with the time it came to walk. Built an exoskeleton out of gelatin and chalk, which allowed her to run 30 miles an hour around the yard. You think parenting your normal little children is hard? I got scarred, scared, scammed for that, for holographic artifacts that she projected on the scene with a machine that automatically discerns your worst concerns and makes them visible. She deemed it risible. Her glee was indivisible from all emanations that the baby would make. I had to become less hilarious for all of our sakes. I made mistakes, I'll admit it, dropped the kid on her head, destroyed the part of it, the thought of evil. But so she said, now I've read this thing out myself in part. She quoted, "Reap what you sow," I had to take it to heart. I sought to restart. I said, "Girl, you'll be a woman, can't be dabbling and dilettanting all the time, I'm assuming. Gotta pick a theme, focus the beam, your brain power." Her face became overcome with an insane glower, and then it remained sour. She
all I had, though the UI that you gave me was funky, I finally found me in the nav, and I'm dialing in a career path. I think you like stops when I play with an 808, ends with a mic.
Didn't need her to elaborate at all. She was already wearing the glasses, mic in the palm. She planned to become a nerdcore rapper just like me, so I shipped her to Singapore, sold her baby ass to Nike. Bizarre, bizarro, genius baby. Sorry, baby. You work for them now. Bizarre, bizarro, bizarro, genius baby. Stitch 'em tight. Bizarro genius baby. At first I was elated, but eventually I grew concerned. Bizarro genius baby. You prove my genes a grade A, but what of when tables turn? What of when tables turn? What of when tables?
Plus, I was reminded of how awesome the movie Mary Poppins is, because I haven't watched it in so long, and I didn't even—I didn't really get to sit and watch it, but just even the parts I caught were like, you know, yeah, this is a really awesome movie.
Did you know that Dick Van Dyke was a raging alcoholic throughout the entire filming of that movie?
I did not.
Yeah.
Well,
found that out.
I actually found out a tidbit of Muppet trivia I didn't know.
Ooh.
Have you seen the movie The Muppets?
Yes.
Okay. The banjo that Kermit is playing at the end when he does Rainbow Connection is the exact same banjo from the Muppet movie.
Yeah, that's super awesome. So. Yeah, that was the first movie we took Ferris to go see in theaters was The Muppets.
Cool.
We're like, we need to go see The Muppets, Ferris would really like this, so we'll take it. You did. His favorite part was when the chickens sing, because he loves when chickens sing.
Do you have the soundtrack?
Yeah.
Okay. That movie comes out on DVD on the 20th.
Well, We've been listening to the Pandora station where they play all the songs from it, too, so...
Yeah.
I keep getting the, so you'll get this connection. The, like, Life's a Happy Tune song.
Yeah, Life's a Happy Song.
Yeah, so... That the tune of that song to me sounds almost exactly the same as that digital short from SNL that we're two best friends and da 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 da.
That reminds me.
It's like almost exactly the same song.
Another aspect of our lives that have changed a lot is we are now watching a lot of TV. Not, you know, a show here and there. We're watching constant TV, especially me.
Willow and Alex are looking at each other.
Oh, did he actually see the cat?
Yeah, I just now he was. That would
be the first time he'd ever actually.
He sort of still is. Just a second ago, while you were talking, Willow was looking directly at Alex, and Alex was looking directly at Willow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm very sure.
Do you see that kitty?
Oh, here she is. Here.
Do you want to look at the kitty?
Hey, kitty. Here. Oh, it is kitty. Now he's looking at me. Looking at me because I'm up higher than the kitty is. The kitty's like, I'll be down here.
That's a kitty.
It's a kitty kitty.
That's a kitty.
Yeah, Alex is looking at me right now. Hi, buddy.
But he can still feel the kitty.
Yes. Aww.
He's just only starting to, like, grab things occasionally. But he's more interested in studying faces than he is in studying objects at this point. Oop, did I get some hair on your face? Hair. I was going to say I'm watching a lot of TV, and the show that me and Josh are hooked on is SNL.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
The current season or the past seasons?
Current.
Okay.
I've been, like, kind of watching them in backwards order and watched some of the 20, some stuff from 2010. And,
Did you see that?
I've now seen, like, probably, 15 of them at this point.
I was like, you guys need to watch SNL. Let's watch this one. Okay.
And it just kind of moved from there.
Do you want this off?
Did you see the most recent What's Up With That?
Yeah.
With Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah. What's Up With That.
But yeah, one thing to keep in mind is that since I'm watching on Hulu, they're like shortened versions. So there's always going to be something they've cut from the show. So when you see the entire show, you may say something about a most recent episode to me, and I may not have seen it.
Hmm.
Because they cut them down to an hour long.
I was explaining to them how they always cut down, like, even when they put it on Netflix or anything.
Hmm.
Or even when they re-air it.
Because a lot of the episodes, they just cut the musical act entirely when they put it on Netflix or Hulu or anything like that. So.
And now that you wet your other outfit, what outfit are you wearing now? It's the Mommy's Little Tiger outfit that was mentioned in a previous episode.
Yay. It was in
October.
Yes.
Is he going to be on the square photo that goes...
Well, let me see if I can... It would be nice to get a photo of him if he could have his, like, eyes open and stuff like they are right now. So I'll give this a shot.
You can open your eyes for Uncle Luke.
Come on, Kim.
Where'd you go?
Can you open your eyes for Uncle Luke?
Hey, buddy.
Is he trying to get you to look at him the way he does with cats?
Okay, look at me, Carrie.
I'm looking.
It's pretty cute.
I think I was doing Moonbeam face.
Or were you doing
She's doing Muppet face. Here.
That's definitely Moonbeam face.
That's Moonbeam picture face. Classic. The next picture of you and Alex will be impending doom. The other Moonbeam picture.
But I was going to mention on, and then we should probably end this segment, but I was so happy to discover that the Christmas episode from the season, the Billy Crystal Martin Short season, the Christmas episode that year was hosted by Eddie Murphy, and there was a sketch that I hadn't seen since, that season first aired or repeated, that actually, you can see it on Netflix, it takes place in a delicatessen, and it's like Billy Crystal being his old Jewish grandfather character, Christopher Guest being some other old Jewish guy, Martin Short being Irving Cohen, the songwriter, and then they have an argument over a sandwich at a deli, and then Gumby walks in. And then Rich Hall's playing, like, the delicatessen employee who, like, starts arguing with Gumby over him walking out without paying the bill last time. And that sketch, like, just floored me as a kid, and I loved it so much, and even when they reran it on Comedy Central, they never included that sketch, even when it was like, oh, Christmas time, we're playing all the Christmas episodes, and they cut it out. So I got to see it for the first time in decades,
awesome.
Like a month or two ago, and I'm like, it's so beautiful.
I should
And
see
like, nobody will love that sketch as much as I do, but I thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah. I should see if they have two of the sketches that I haven't seen since they aired that I thought were, like, absolutely hilarious. One of them was the Riding My Donkey political talk show.
Was that Will Ferrell?
Yeah, Will Ferrell was on it, and it was like, you know, the last sketch of the night, and one of the donkeys like took off in the middle of the sketch, and it was hilarious. And the other one was like around the whole like Florida voting snafu that happened, and and it was called Palm Beach, and it was really funny. And every time Val Kilmer was the host. Every time they re-aired it, it wouldn't be there. So I should look up on Netflix and see if it's there.
I love the current Verizon commercial that they have. That's hilarious.
Hell for old people. Oh, I'm so happy that Stefan is back this season because I was really worried. Well, at the end of last season, it was kind of a like, goodbye, we're going on vacation. And like a lot of times when they do something like that, they don't bring the character back in the next season.
Because Stefan was gone for a while, and even What's Up With That was gone for a while.
Yeah, they didn't do the sketch for a really long time. Because
I was worried because they did that one where the real Lindsay Buckingham shows up.
So I thought
maybe this is them putting a capper on it, but I'm glad they brought it back. So.
Yeah, I was also worried about the same thing.
If I was a much, much skinnier person, I would be Stefan for Halloween.
Explain What's Up With That.
Stefan is awesome.
Explain the premise.
Well, What's Up With That is a talk show... what's his character's name? DeAndre Cole, and played by
Keenan.
Played by Keenan, who's been stoned since Good Burger.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
I immediately laughed like blah, and then Sarah's like, "What's that?" And then I had to pause and explain. Oh, he did this Nickelodeon movie.
Yeah,
anyway.
I saw that in theaters when it came out.
So it starts off like it's a talk show called "What's Up With That," where DeAndre Cole has these backup singers. And he comes out and he sings this opening song where the chorus of the song goes, ooh-wee, what's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee, what's up with that? What's up with that? What's up? I say what's up with that? And then he says something.
There's always somebody or just random weird.
No, yeah. Well, and what's his face?
Well, then there's always three.
The guy that's dancing on the side.
Yeah.
Oh, what's his name?
Well, it starts off with just him by himself.
Yeah.
And then he introduces his three celebrity guests, which are always like.
Oh, jeez. Okay, like, one of them
move this.
It's always two actual celebrities, and then the third celebrity is Bill Hader dressed up as the musician Lindsay Buckingham.
From Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
And like, one of the ones I saw, for instance, was actual Morgan Freeman, actual Ernest Borgnine, and Bill Hader dressed up as Lindsay Buckingham.
They're always two actual celebrities.
I don't know, but I mean, I know, but like Morgan freaking Freeman, you know? Morgan Freeman's just like looking around like, what the hell? And like, Ernest Borgnine's got this big old guy smile on his face the whole time.
The first one I ever saw had Al Gore as one of the people. So.
I think one of the best ones ever, though, was Robert De Niro.
Yeah,
because they always do the bit where the real celebrity starts talking about whatever they're there to plug, and then, like, you hear the music start kicking back in, and then, you know,
they only let the actual celebrity talk for a minute at best.
And then it always segues into him getting up and singing the What's Up With That song again, and then bringing in some weird, obscure celebrities while other miscellaneous, bizarre background dancers are happening. Like, one time it was people dressed as the California Raisins. One time it was, for President's Day, it was people dressed like U.S. presidents, but then they pulled their pants off and they had, you know, American flag boxer shorts on. And then there'll be, like, celebrity guests, ladies and gentlemen, she's all grown up, it's all grown up now, it's baby Jessica trapped in the well! And then, like, they wheel out this well with you know, Kristen Wiig inside it, like, kind of waving, like, hi, and then they just keep going.
Yeah.
I love Kristen Wiig.
The choir of boys that were all dressed up like DeAndre Cole. Awesome.
I've been, Kristen Wiig's definitely the best woman on that show. She's incredible. And they always have her in wigs. You never see her real hair.
Yeah.
And Bill Hader is awesome. He was in, you know, for those of you who've seen Superbad, he was the other cop with Seth Rogen. And
he's also the lead voice in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
He was in something else, too. Yeah.
Well, he's done a bunch of stuff, but yeah, he's become my current favorite cast member on the show.
Yeah,
because every time he does something, it's damned hilarious.
Yeah, he's incredible. Really,
a sketch they used to do with him that I miss, I wish they would bring it back, is the sports interview show.
Yes!
Where
I was just talking about this with somebody. I'm like, why haven't they done the Gregs in like a lot, or Greg in a long time?
Like, because basically it's
so
like
funny.
It's Keenan being like this sports show host, and then Bill Hader is there, and he's dressed in like in a suit like he's hosting a sports show, but he just kind of has an odd posture and a weird look about him. And the people keep calling into the sports show talking about Bill Hader's character. It's like, he's a space alien, isn't he? And he's like, he is not an alien. Now let's talk about the Colts and how they did this weekend. And then as the sketch progresses, you know, the fact that he's an alien keeps becoming more and more obvious.
If he's not an alien, then why doesn't he have any eyebrows? Like, there's one, but the last one they did, he kept turning other people into Gregs. So, like,
wasn't that a John Hamm episode?
Yeah.
And so,
and like, by the end of the sketch, the whole studio was filled with people all dressed like him, and it's like, Greg.
And every time he would, to try to be his cover, he would just say something like, you know, go Bears! He would just say something weird like that.
I just happened to watch both of Emma Stone's episodes almost in succession, and she's really good. I really liked her in Easy A. I didn't think I would like that movie.
Yeah, I like that movie.
Her parents in that movie are hilarious.
She's awesome in Superbad.
Yeah. And in Superbad, they don't have the gigantic fake eyelashes that she usually wears. Yeah, she's funny. I've been enjoying the, like, female former cast member hosts.
Yeah, because whenever any one of them hosts, all of the rest of them come back.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
And the Betty White episode was epic.
Yeah, it was good.
I love Maya Rudolph. So
yeah,
how long ago was she actually on the show?
She was on the show the same time as Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, and Rachel Dratch.
In like 2005.
Oh, that's a long time.
Right?
Yeah, because it was like for a long time it was Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Rachel Dratch, and Maya Rudolph. Those were the four main
and
women,
Kristen
and then Kristen Wiig
right
joined.
At the end of that. Yeah. I think my favorite.
Maybe I'll have to go back and watch that season.
I think my favorite current male cast member is Taron Killam. He's like a supporting person, but he's in like almost all the sketches, it seems like, and all his characters are always awesome. He's hilarious. So
he's not the one that does the Michael Cera, is he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
the
okay,
one
that's what I thought.
The Michael Cera.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Being quirky.
Yeah, I love that.
Or whenever they do their parody of Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah.
I'm so quirky. Like.
Yeah, all his characters, and he used to be Jimmy the overly touchy orderly on Scrubs. So,
yeah, I've been starting to catch up on Scrubs as well. That's another one, and we're plugging away at Doctor Who. We're watching Sarah Silverman. What else? We watched some movies.
Yeah, I'm about.
I've watched so many things in the last 2 weeks.
I'm about halfway through Sarah Silverman. Did you ever watch Lost?
No.
You should put that on your to-watch list, probably.
I stopped watching Lost at, like, the end of this. No, it was the third. Well, on the episode where they're like, oh, by the way, there's another island that we never noticed, even though we've, like, sailed all the way around the island and been to the top of it. Like, that just, yeah.
That just
I'm like, I'm done now.
Ticked you off too much.
Well, and, like, they kept, like, talking about stuff, and then they wouldn't bring it back for, like, 10 episodes.
Alex has been, like, awake this last 15 minutes, just, like, staring off into space.
He's a good boy.
I was trying to put you around so you could look at things, but I know your eyesight isn't really great to be looking out there, so maybe I'll face you back to me so you can look at me.
our show that we should have watched a long time ago that we just finished was Arrested Development.
I've been meaning to watch that too.
I finally finished watching all the episodes. I always hear people be like, that's the funniest show that's ever been on television, but it's so dry. Like,
yeah.
I've
seen a couple episodes a long time ago, and I never enjoyed them at the time.
The narration kind of bothers me, and then, like, the humor is so dry that it's like, okay, it's funny, but not...
I know they're working on a movie.
Yeah.
And so I'll probably try to watch the series before the movie comes out. So.
Yeah. But it's funny to see Michael Cera be like incredibly baby faced when he's already really baby faced now, and then you're like, wow, when he was 15, he was really baby faced.
Just to go back to SNL for a second, I've been because Sarah watches Saturday Night Live with me. And I've, when it comes to every year, we gotta come up with, look at that tongue, it works properly.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, you too. Have to scream too. Yeah.
It can't just be the baby.
You know, every year we're trying to come up with ideas for opening ceremony sketch at MarsCon, and that's I've always wanted to do a parody of Saturday Night Live, but like make it be like more current Saturday Night Live than trying to be the past. I mean, I'm sure I'd make references to the past, but I thought it would be great to do like, the news with Stefan or what's up with that or some of the newer bits, augmented to go with whatever the theme is for the con, But the trouble with that is you'd be the only person in the audience who'd understand all the references, because I don't think there's as many people in our community watching the current SNL.
Yeah. There should be.
Every time I talk about like how good it's getting again, people are like, no, it hasn't been funny since the 80s. And like, no, really, seriously, it's getting
everyone's
good. It's really good writing nowadays.
Everyone shit cans. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be swearing, but
and I like Seth
Meyers.
Seth Meyers, Weekend Update.
Yeah, and
he's got snarky face all the time.
And he's the head writer of the show. Yeah, so, it's everyone always talks about the era like post Mike Myers, where it was like Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider, David Spade, Chris Farley. Like, everyone talks about those years like, oh, that was the worst years ever for SNL, blah, blah, blah. And then Sherry O'Terry and Will Ferrell joined the cast. And to me, that was the point where things started getting really bad and unwatchable. Like, there was something about... Yeah.
That's important.
I know. I watched all through that stuff, but I really stopped watching probably...
Move that bag to my bedroom?
Yeah. After Will Ferrell left, I pretty much stopped watching for a couple years, and I love SNL.
So. Yeah.
Is that picking her up when she's over there?
When she comes back.
I'm trying to be loud.
I'm gonna run it through level later anyway, so.
Yeah.
Well,
so
it's not magic.
So, it's... our good friends at The Scope, whose opinions I do respect very much, keep lauding Sherry O'Terry as being such a brilliant comedian. And I don't want to say that she isn't funny ever. However,
I don't know
who that is. Well, you're kind of proving my point, because after Will Ferrell left Saturday Night Live, he made a ton of movies which were very popular and still do. Sherry O'Terry didn't really go on to do anything. I think she was in one of the Scary Movies. She was in... I think one of the Inspector Gadget films, playing like the mayor or something, but there has been no Sherry O'Terry lead vehicle on the level of, say, Bridesmaids or what are Tina Fey's movies? Mean Girls, Date Night,
Or any television shows.
Or shows like Parks and Rec or 30 Rock, it's like...
And Rec is getting really good, too.
Yeah,
I've been really enjoying it.
I just...
Poor movie.
I'm
nice to get up every 60 seconds to see what Ferris is doing.
So I'm still kind of waiting for Sherry O'Terry to step up and be as brilliant and as the guys on The Scope say she is.
Kristen Wiig, that's who's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know how she would be as a stand-up, but as a... comedic actress,
she
she's
seemed
incredible.
To have like fallen out of the sky. I've tried to like look up, her history. Like she has to have like been funny and coming from somewhere, but I don't know.
Well, there must be a good wiki entry on her, right?
I know Amy Poehler came from UCB.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
so.
I've been a huge Upright Citizens Brigade fan
yeah.
forever, and so I had, like, known her when she was on that.
But, yes, current SNL rocks. We should probably end this so we can...
Yeah, and I'll interject songs and stuff so that this past hour and a half won't be an hour and a half of continual talking, so...
Sports Illustrated swimsuit model Kate Upton, and with his 100th appearance on the show, Lindsay Buckingham. And here's your host, DeAndre Cole!
I woke up this morning and I got out of bed, had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Telephone rang and you wanna chat? Well, sit on down and tell me what's up with that. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? Yes! All righty. Well, thank you all for joining us on our biggest day of the year on What Up With That, our President's Day episode. What a big show. What a big show. It's going to be presidential. It's going to be reverential. It's going to be sequential. A lot of potential. It's going to be a big time, gig time, swing time, wig time, do a jig time, eat a fig time, burn a twig time, get some pig time, president time. Ooh-wee. What's up with this? What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up? I say what's up? Somebody tell me what is up with that. Now I went to the White House and they took all of my weed. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yes. Very well. Let's get down to business. Bill O'Reilly is here.
Hey. Hey.
And the lady who is on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, Kate Upton, is here. Oh, damn. And our friend, Lindsay Buckingham, is back with us for a record 100th time. All right, now in honor of President's Day, Lindsay stayed up all night learning every president in order and their birthdays. And he's going to recite them later in the show. I've never seen him so excited. All right, now Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
You have written a best-selling book on one of our greatest presidents called Killing Lincoln.
That's right.
Now, what can we learn about Lincoln today?
Now, DeAndre, listen up. I was a teacher in Miami. And I know that the times now are a lot like the times during the Civil War, because we're a divided nation. It's not as intense as back then, but what we need most now is leadership. We got to pull together. And
pulling together.
Yeah. All right. Now it's going to take the kind of tremendous leadership that President Lincoln had to give this country, all right? That's what we need to get it back on course.
Back on the path, yeah.
Okay. So Lincoln had that leadership, and it was just a tragedy that he died the way he did.
It's a tragedy, baby, and I got to say, ooh, yeah. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh, yeah. Oh, what's up with that? What's up with that? Ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna take this fiesta south of the equator. Please welcome Brazil's answer to Leanne Rimes, Sabrina Spotlight.
Hello.
expectations. He's raised my expectations. Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up? I say what's up.
Some, I can't get no data. Tell me what is up with that.
Now if you don't see the vow, somebody tell me what happened. Because I fell asleep during the trailer, yes. Yes. I want to thank my guest, the sexiest man in New York, Bill O'Reilly.
I'm not sure what happened here.
Model and presidential enthusiast, Kate Upton.
Love presidents.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, poop. Lindsey Buckingham, we did not get to do your hilarious list of presidents and their birthdays. This never happens. Oh, Lindsey, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'll tell you what. We're going to do it anyway, and we're going to put it online on BET's Backstage Bonus Presidential Trivia website. We do have one of those, right? We don't. We never did. Well, hey, we'll get on that. I promise, Lindsey. Can you forgive me, Lindsey? Yeah, there you go, Lindsey. That's what I'm talking about. That's my dog. I'll see you tomorrow at Temple. Until next time, I'm DeAndre Cole asking you, hey, 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 hey. What's up with that? What's up with that?
So this has been the Bad Rapport of Destiny. Featuring babies. So thank you for listening, and yeah!
And don't do anything I wouldn't do. Which is, don't go to, don't stay home in Michigan and work when you could go somewhere else and help with the baby.
Yay.
Exactly. The end.
I didn't get it backwards.
Word.
I'm in my first trimester on Second Life, but in real life, I'm in my third trimester and, well, my friends and family in the Midwest want a way to show me that they care. Ugh. Tied with friends and family. Now I'm knocked up, living way across the country. Sorry, my friends, the baby shower must wait. But they said, hon, it's 2008. Don't worry, we made all the plans. We'll do it all using Skype and linked up webcams. We'll bring cake and show it to you. Then we can see your belly and swollen ankles too. I'm at my virtual baby shower. I'm online, my virtual baby shower. It's starting now, we all logged in on cue. I've got nothing to say but morning sickness to spew. Oh me, oh my, webcams are a bore. Slow as if it was 1994. I can't hear you, but can you hear me now? You type, it's time for online games now. I keep hoping it's almost ending. I can't wait, I think I'm ready for labor pains. My baby needs pink stuff, so I'm at my virtual baby shower. But I'm bored. My virtual baby shower. I'm bored now. Where would I rather be? I'm bored now. Where would I rather be? I'm bored at my virtual baby shower. Oh, Auntie, thanks for this Amazon.com gift. It's a toaster? No, wait, a book about toasters. Thanks. I'm at my virtual baby shower.
I'm online.
My virtual baby shower.
I'm bored now.
on board now. My virtual baby shower on board now. Where would I rather be? On board now. Where would I rather be?
What's Luke plugging now?
Hey everyone, this is Luke, and I'm speaking softly because it's about 2 in the morning and Sarah is sleeping in the next rooms, but there is some things I wanted to plug now. Most importantly to us Bad Rapport participants, listeners, people like you, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport Best of 2011 album is now released. You can get the CD version with instant MP3 download for $9.99 plus shipping over at my website, thegreatlukeski.com. You can also get the MP3 version just as a download for $4.99. And the reason why the prices are much lower than last year is because last year we had a 2-CD set, and this year it's just a 1-CD set, so it's just under 80 minutes of material. So again, CD version with instant MP3 download, $9.99 plus shipping, or MP3 version, just the download, $4.99. Go to thegreatlukeski.com and click on the store and click on the link that says compilations, and that's where you can find all of those. Also, I should mention there is literally only one CD copy left of Best of 2010. So if you haven't ordered it and you want to snag literally the last copy of it that's available, whoever gets it first gets it first. So there you have that. Other things that are very important that need to be plugged is the new album by Cirque du Soleil, Stupid Cowboy Thing Volume 2, Additional Squid, which we just released at MarsCon. You can get it from the Fump.com store, both in CD and MP3 format. So if you want to get in on the ground floor of the awesome new album full of meta references, inside jokes, and actual sketches that the general public might be able to understand, go to thefump.com or cirquedusowhat.net or baconnipples.com, whichever you prefer, and order Stupid Cowboy Thing Volume 2, Additional Squid. What else shall I mention as long as I'm blabbering at you people here? I'll be performing at MarCon 47 out in Columbus, Ohio. That is, their website is marcon.org, MARCON.org, at the Hyatt Regency Columbus in Columbus, Ohio, April 6th through 8th, 2012. Yes, that is Easter weekend. And performing with me there will be Tom Smith and Power Salad, making his first appearance there. So it'll be my, I haven't been back at MarCon in about a few years. 2009 was the last time I was there. So go check that out. And, a whole bunch of other stuff has been updated, sent out a big email update. You can read all about it at thegreatlukeski.com, put up a post about it so you can get links and videos and stuff. Oh, yeah, I should definitely mention the awesome fan video for my song Blues Campbell done by Dr. Don Coleman. You can see the YouTube link for that up at thegreatlukeski.com. You can see the Ray TV 20th anniversary video that we mentioned in the last episode. Of course, the Dr. Demento show, as I always mention, you can go to drdemento.com/request and request your favorite new tracks from the new Cirque du Soleil album. And when you do so, please include your email address, so that way it'll count towards the top 10, because without your email address, he doesn't count it towards the top 10 countdown. As a new policy he has there to keep people from sock puppeting their way to the top of the list. Okay. And I think that's about it. So here's what's going to happen next. I know this podcast is already pretty long, but I do like to talk about things while they're still fresh and topical. And MarsCon just happened. And earlier tonight, I recorded the Fumpcast with the other members of Cirque du Soleil and Insane Ian. And I figured that would be a good time to record us doing our wrap-up of MarsCon. And rather than re-record, you know, basically talking about the exact same things again for Bad Rapport, I am literally going to copy and paste into this podcast the 40-minute discussion we had on the Fumpcast. So if you've already heard this discussion on the Fumpcast, it's totally fine for you to bail on this episode at this point, because you're going to just re-listen to the same stuff you already heard on the Fumpcast episode 92. But if you aren't a Fumpcast listener, then you can hear all about MarsCon right now. And at the end of it, afterwards, we'll play a track that is up at thefump.com for free download, a track from the new Cirque du Soir album, Stupid Cowboy Thing, Volume 2, Additional Squid. It is a sketch entitled Let's Do Improv. People have been really digging it. I wrote it. I'm very proud of it. You can hear me talk all about it on episode 92 of the Fumpcast. But as I said, if you're not a Fumpcast listener, that's okay. You can hear us do the MarsCon wrap-up right now. It's about 40 minutes, and then the sketch is about 5 minutes, and then the episode's over. So if you want to bail at this point, feel free to, if you already heard it. Save yourself some time. You can move on and listen to another awesome podcast, like The Scope, at thescopeshow.com. Oh, worked on another plug for Jared Ringgold. Shh, it's a secret plug. Anyway, I'll shut up now, and we'll get to the Fumpcast MarsCon 2012 wrap-up, Rockin' the Apocalypse, right now.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Very good, but not quite good enough to be deserving of additional squid.
Son of a...
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.
Do we want to do our rapid-fire MarsCon wrap-up discussion now?
Oh, sure. I forgot we didn't talk about MarsCon.
Yes, so...
My wife's here if you want her to say things before she prances into the other room.
Oh, okay. Tell her to give us her recipe for pie.
Pie?
Yes. Pie.
Do you make pie?
Pie. What kind?
Of apple.
You don't want to know my recipe for apple pie.
Okay, thank you for being on the show.
You try it.
Far more kittens than most.
Oh, the butter and the kittens.
God damn it.
Okay. So, Devo and Shoebox, did either of you see the opening ceremony sketch?
Yes.
I did. I was most definitely there.
Okay, here's the $10,000 question. Who was the primary author of that sketch?
Earl.
It was Earl.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what gave it away?
Everything?
Quite Earlish. Earlish.
Yeah, Earl and Maggie Schultz wrote that sketch, with the exception of my little bits as the balladeer. I wrote those, and I also wrote the speech that Kyle does when he enters as the troll.
Balladeer.
So yeah, that was that was an interesting experience. The audience seemed to enjoy it. I hope you did.
Yeah, it was cool.
Did you notice it took some shots at George Lucas?
Did I what?
Did you notice that it took some shots at George Lucas here and there?
Yeah, just a few. Although Lucas's exit line, I believe that was an ad lib and it was hilarious. So yeah. So kudos to all of them, and special thanks to Chris Mezzalesta playing the guitar player
with a big green hat on
with his one line of dialogue, and special thanks to TV's Kyle and Lindsay for playing the internet troll and the concept of what was it, reimagining? Yes.
Yes.
the plot of the plot was a Jumanji or Zathura type of game being played by two gamers, and they released the characters out of the game, the four nerdsmen of the apocalypse, who were they? Cancellation, reimagining, internet troll, and then the fourth one turned out to be George Lucas. And then Earl shows up as Captain Kirk to save the day, and I played the balladeer, who was a minstrel type of person who explained the rules of the game in song as we went along. So you can see that sketch, because I know Jared posted it, so you can go view it for yourself. So there you go.
I think my favorite moment in all.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna. That's related to the curly, but I think my favorite moment just went through my brain at this juncture. Of all the opening ceremonies of MarsCon I've ever seen, which is what I actually got to participate in, was the one where Earl was Mario, and jumped off screen, ate a mushroom, and the sound comes, and then Brian LeBounty comes in as Mario. That was hysterical.
That was the Super Mario Povich show. That was one of the all-time best opening ceremony sketches, in my opinion. I love that one.
I liked it then when I got shot.
which is a recurring motif now in our plays, is that Earl shoots somebody in virtually every sketch, and then they die. So, okay, moving on to the magic track. 9 p.m. on Friday. TV's Kyle, what'd you think?
Awesome.
Kyle,
I saw that online, and I enjoyed it.
Yes. Kyle, Kyle, once again, you know, doing an awesome job. Lindsay there providing assistance. It was a great show.
Although we missed the very beginning where he apparently told the audience to make ice cream in his mouth.
I really wish I hadn't missed that. That was vitally important.
That was something that came up at dinner. It was me, Shoebox, Kyle, Lindsay, and Dino Mike were eating dinner, and Kyle and Lindsay were having ice cream. I don't know how it came up, but he said, make ice cream in my mouth. And it was so dirty and so funny, and you know, we were hoping he would use it on stage. And apparently he did, and I wasn't there for it.
He also did a completely improvised version of a Floating Princess commercial, which I got to be involved in.
Oh, cool.
Which also tied into Cirque du So What. but yeah, Lindsay
completely rocked the slide whistle on that one.
Yes.
And that's it.
So, you can see this at Mr. Tuesday's Blip TV page. And then, hey, Cirque du So What did their first half-hour Friday night concert at MarsCon.
I rehearsed the hell out of that so I could do it without scripts, because we said, hey, we should do it without scripts this time. And then the three of you show up with scripts, and I'm like, you bastards.
Sorry.
make me work. I don't like working.
In my defense, I'm extremely lazy.
Okay.
And in mine, I had buttons to push at the right time, which I still couldn't get. So,
In my defense, I wasn't there.
In my defense, I was on the verge of death.
That's no excuse, damn it.
It's that too.
But
the
show went great. It really did.
People seem to dig what we did for them.
and I managed to do the first sketch without cracking up on stage. Because seriously, I was in my car rehearsing that sketch. I'm like, hand job, and I'm just cracking up in my car. And I'm like, I am not going to be able to do this with a straight face. And somehow,
I'd like to congratulate you on your extremely realistic-looking fapping at the end of that.
Fake. Yes.
Word.
Well, it's what I do.
Plus that all four of us didn't stop to consider that for the How to Speak Shoebox sketch that the audience was going to respond.
Yeah.
Once we got to that point, it was like, oh, now crap. So I intentionally paused and did my own hi, just so we could get the point across to them, like, oh, you know, we're doing the bit, you know.
Yeah.
So perhaps that bit will be altered in the future. We will see. And then that Worm Quartet guy did a thing.
Oh, yeah, I remember that too.
And you had a meta intro.
I did have a meta intro. It was based on all my previous intros in order to confuse anyone who was seeing me for the first time. Which at MarsCon is, nobody. So, but I did that, and I had again Luke screaming at the end because why the hell not? And went into songs. I did a couple of new ones. One that I had finished actually 2 hours prior to the show. It's probably not the finished version of the song, but I got a performable version of it done like 2 hours before the show. Normally, I have my sets ready like a week in advance or so, but I was still putting things together and, in fact, finishing a song just before this one. So I don't know if that showed or not. I know something sure as hell showed, and it was called My Cold. And that popped up right around Great Idea or so is when that really became to the point when I suddenly, out of the blue, couldn't seem to hit notes at all anymore. But fortunately, I had for the next one, I did the Metric song, and I had Brian doing the vocals for the verses on that. So that gave me a chance to kind of catch up throat-wise.
That sounded awesome with the two of you doing that.
Yeah,
I thought that came out pretty good.
That was great.
Thank you. Thank you ever so.
And I got to sign the bunny song.
You did get to sign the bunny song. I the first time you told me that you'd sign it, you're like, hey, you know how whenever you do the bunny song, you always do the same words to it? I'm like, yeah, I have no idea why I do that. You're like, well, I can do this. Like, so you gave me retroactively a reason to have memorized the words in order for that song.
Somebody was asking me about that at one of the parties, how I was able to do it and keep up with you. And I'm like, well, I memorized the song. It's just, right. And it's the same words, the same order every time. So you just practice.
Kim can do it too, strangely. Yeah. Not the signing, but she also knows the order. I don't know why. That's just, for whatever reason, it's the right order for the words to be in.
I've never been able to get it 100%, but I've gotten close at times.
I tend to screw up a couple towards the end. I mean, I know what it is, but my fingers get confused, and I'd sign the wrong thing.
I really want to see a version of that in, like, Rock Band or Guitar Hero, where you have to sign it and you get points for hitting them as the hand symbols come down get down the line in the video game.
Ooh.
Wow. ASL Hero. That could work.
ASL Hero, yeah.
ASL Hero is amazing.
That would be a great use for the Kinect.
It would, yeah.
Yeah, that's where my brain went to, yeah.
So
next let's quit this comedy bullshit and start a software company, like, right now.
You know, I work with, like, 20 game developers.
I'm a game developer.
I like games.
Like, I've actually developed games and licensed them and stuff. I had a game translated into Russian and sold throughout the Ukraine.
So there you go. Start working game. On that Xbox game there, Devo.
Yep.
I wrote Spam Blaster, Stupid Quest, Stupid Quest 2.
I still want to make Stupid 2. Quest 4 as an iPhone game with you.
Yes. I'm all up for that.
You write it, I'll program it, we'll be rich. Let's do it.
All right.
So then we had the Gothicals up, returning after an absence. Were they gone 1 year or 2 years? I can't remember. But it was some sort of absence of the Gothicals, and then
I want to say 2 years, but I might be wrong.
So,
I think it was only 1 year because I do remember them. One of the times that I was at MarsCon, okay. It wasn't the first time I was at MarsCon. So
I think it's not for they missed a year like before that too. It's been every other year, I think, for a bit.
Oh, okay, sure. But that's what it was. Yeah.
So yeah, I missed the very beginning of their show, but they rocked, from what I saw.
They did.
Including an extra member of the band that they didn't want there.
Clap your hands! Oh my god, yeah. Exactly.
I couldn't help but wonder if that was the same guy who dressed up as the Joker and screwed with the Nick Adams return.
Oh god.
I don't think it was.
Nobody was. But... What I found out, he actually wasn't. I wasn't totally sure, and other people, I guess, weren't either, whether he was actually supposed to be there. Like, maybe he was with them, he was a friend of theirs, or was just kind of a little overzealous, or what the hell, but nobody wanted to do anything about it.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was part of the show either, and then at one point in the middle of the set, Brian turned to him and he said, "Who the hell are you, dude?" And I was like, okay, he's not part of the set then.
We probably should have removed him at that point, but we didn't.
Yeah,
go on, sorry.
No, if I see him doing similar things next year, I'm going to politely ask him to stop. I mean, not that I want to be the police of people's fun, but at some point that got to be like, okay, you really should knock this shit off.
Yeah, that got annoying real quick.
Yeah. So, you were saying...
I want him like in a giant black and white poster and in a very, you know, in a very wedding-looking script to say, just keep clapping with the clouds in the back. It's like... I talked to Brian about that. We figured that was kind of the motto of all that. What we should take from that is like, dude, just keep clapping.
Or maybe one of those, like, you know, Obey posters of Andre the Giant. Just, you know, him, just keep clapping.
Instead of Obey, it just says clap.
There you go. That's how it should, yes.
We have ways of making you clap.
We have ways of giving you clap.
But it was quite awesome to have the Gothicals back in effect. At MarsCon, because we like them.
I like Flash too. I did like
it. Yes, I agree. And then Sea Monkey. And man, he did a great show.
He did.
He did. That was an awesome set.
And I'm so happy he did Onry Hand Job, because I think that's my favorite song of his. And the visuals on that song just killed me.
I was sitting next to him in the during Kyle's set. He was kind of talking to me, while he was talking to me, he was just kind of casually taping the cone into the boxers for that one. And the boxers, incidentally, he never really showed off the boxers, but they have a Worm Quartet emblem on them. I'm like, okay, this is the first I've ever like had a casual conversation with somebody while they're actively taping a styrofoam cone into boxers that have the logo for my band on them. So thank you for a new experience. That happened. A MarsCon
moment.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yep.
Anywho, sorry, that was a side. But yeah, no, his set was great. The way he did the opener hand job, I think that was very well correct. It all came together really well. I thought it was the best I've seen him, without a doubt.
And Kristen, a.k.a. Seabunkette, I mean, she was awesome as well. They both sang brilliantly. It was a very awesome debut for the two of them at MarsCon. So
I'm very.
We should probably explain the cone thing. What he did was during
sorry,
during Onry Handjob, he was performing in just a towel, and he was laying down on a table singing while his wife Kristen was giving him a massage, and then at one point in the song he rolls over, and he's got this thing taped into his shorts, so it looks like he has a massive erection under the towel. So, and it was very funny.
And then he spent the rest of his concert, you know, wearing that.
Yes.
Because that's how Sea Monkey rolls.
Yes.
Tis.
Over.
So, yeah. And then Friday night there was partying, which I wasn't a part of. Were either of you guys a part of that?
Yes.
For a bit.
Yeah, I was up wandering. I what did I do Friday night? I think I did. I hung out in the. That's right. I got molested in the karaoke room. Yeah, one of the karaoke rooms.
The Tarzan one, right?
The Tarzan one. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I hung out in the karaoke room for a while. Then I went to the different karaoke room for a while. Ate lots of junk food at the con suite. I think I went to bed around 2:45, something like that. And then stupidly woke up like before 7 o'clock the Saturday morning. And it's like I woke up and I don't know what the hell happened, but I looked at my iPod to figure out what time it was. And it said it was like 8:40 or something like that. And I'm like, okay, so that means it's 9:40 my time. I should probably get up because I'm not going to be able to get back to sleep. And I get up and I take a shower and I shave and I come out and I look at the clock on the dresser and it says 7:20. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? So I somehow took a shower and went back in time. So I do not know what time I got up. I don't know what my iPod actually said when I read it, but I was obviously half asleep and reading it wrong. But I...
Well, you were staying on the 12th floor, which isn't too far from the 13th floor TARDIS room, so maybe...
Right.
I was going to say exactly that, goddamn you.
So, yeah.
So I was up early Saturday morning.
Yeah. So when I had been fighting off a bunch of congestion all week and taking Mucinex like crazy, and between the stress of, you know, opening ceremonies and, you know, performing for you know, my appearance in Kyle's show and Cirque du Soleil, what it's like,
but all that clapping you did,
yes, I basically kind of went straight to bed Friday night, and then when I got up Saturday morning, I went to, you know, blow my nose, and it was just chocked to the brim full of green and yellow phlegmy goodness, to which Sarah replied, we're taking your ass to Minute Clinic right goddamn now. So I got my shit together, and she took me over there and did a very good job taking care of me. As she rolls her eyes and exhales annoyingly. Because apparently she got compliments from people all weekend about how good a job she does taking care of me, as if she isn't her own person, you know, aside from being Mrs. Lukeski or some shit like that.
Yeah, I had a bad case of Mrs. Lukeski this weekend. It got real old real fast.
So everyone, please tell Sarah how awesome she is, completely independent of anything having to do with me, because it's the truth, God damn it. So there's your feedback assignment for next week. So we went there. I kind of wrote up a text and tweeted it and then copy-pasted and sent it to everyone I knew who was at the con that I could text quickly just to let them all know, I'm going to the clinic. If I'm not back by 2, start without me, which is what happened. So I went to the clinic. They, long story short, said that I have some kind of viral infection in my sinus cavity and antibiotics wouldn't help, but if I got like one of those neti pot nasal flush things and some saline nose spray and some generic Sudafed and some throat lozenges and just kept on it, that it should help the situation significantly. So I asked Bill Putt of Dementia Radio, Blasted Bill, to take over as MC for Saturday so that I could rest my voice and try to save it for my concert on Sunday. So it really sucked, because it was like I was at MarsCon, but I wasn't at MarsCon because I couldn't do my usual hosty talky thingy that I do. So
yeah.
I tried very hard not to get incredibly bummed out by the situation, but the upside of it all is, you know, with all the prep work having been done, you know, things were pretty much like set to go, and things went smoothly at Table 27 and with the concerts, and, you know, things were great on Saturday. So So yeah, so thank you very much to everyone who helped, most especially Sarah. So give it up for Sarah, everyone.
Yay!
Keep grabbing, keep grabbing.
So anyway, possible Oscar, 2 p.m. What'd you guys think?
Awesome.
Yeah, that was a fantastic show. I haven't seen him as a three-piece, obviously, before, but they did a fan. That was great. Really, really enjoyed the crap out of it.
Rocking it.
But so.
I remember Stephanie was near me at the time. She's like, have they performed at the con yet? I'm like, no. Are they going to? I'm like, they usually close with it, and then I don't think they played it. But
no, they didn't. They said they were going to mix up their set this year. They wanted to do some like older material that they haven't done in a while or stuff they haven't done ever.
Yeah. But yeah, once again, possible Oscar, you know, being the kind of the anchor band since they're local, you know, and stuff. But yeah, always awesome that they're so willing to bring it and rock it and be so helpful to everyone else. My phone appears to be ringing.
It seemed really friggin' tight this year too. I mean, and Jeff was drumming his friggin' butt off and everything was glorious and it was nifty. Yes.
Yes. So the Boobles.
Yay.
So this
Yay, this
seemed to be a situation where there were a lot of people in the audience who were MarsCon just general public attendees who hadn't heard any of their material before, because the Boobles show got huge laughs, like, all the way through. So, I mean, besides having been performed awesomely by Sea Monkey and his various special guests, it just got a great reaction from the crowd. So, yeah. Any other comments?
Yeah, what the hell happened?
It was great. It was one of those things where, like, every time, songs would start, and as soon as it seemed like the point or the obvious title of the song was reached, you just hear a bunch of "Oh gods" and laughing and crap from the audience. It was great, just watching the reveal, you know, in the crowd. It was watching it kind of ripple through there. That was fantastic.
I thought he was going to perform with like possible Oscar behind him doing the live music.
Well, that's what he wanted. He wanted to find a Beatles cover band from the Twin Cities area who was willing to show up and set up the entire band setup, but he wasn't able to arrange that. So, so he did what he did, and I, you know, thought.
Oh, it went fine. But I thought that's what he was planning to do. I guess it was, and he just couldn't do it. But, his set was great.
Thing with a nipple face, man.
Oh, wonderful.
Nipple face.
So and then we had Dino Mike at 3:30, who did a mostly video oriented show.
Yes, his videos are quite good.
Yeah, I liked in his.
He's one of those people who.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, he's one of those people who's better every time I see him. It seems like he really puts a lot into his show. He's been he just keeps stepping it up and adding more to it, and it's just he's really doing well. I really enjoyed it.
He's really stepped up his game a lot over the past few years.
Word indeed.
I think the thing that sucks about me having not nearly as much disposable income as I used to is that I used to show up at MarsCon and walk away with a big stack of CDs, and you know, these days if I even have the time to go to the table, I don't have as much money as I used to. I think the only album I actually bought was Chris's, and I wanted to buy a lot more, but
I didn't have to do. But thank you.
Well, you know, I gotta help support my Cirque du Soleil brethren.
Good.
You know, I mean, it's not like you mixed three entire albums for no pay or anything. So yeah, so Dino Mike.
That's why I jumped at the chance to do the layout and design for the cover. I'm like, I gotta pay Chris back somehow.
So yeah, all right. That leads us to the COG, the Consortium of Genius.
GOG.
That was freaking amazing. And I've seen the COG twice before, but this is the first time I've ever been able to sit down and watch them perform from beginning to end and, you know, enjoy the show. Because the first time I saw them was at Dragon Con that year, whenever it was. And, like, we were in the back of the room and we were selling CDs and doing stuff. And they were, like, on the other side of that huge ballroom performing, and I couldn't hear them or understand them or anything. And then
they were having technical difficulties during that show as well.
Yeah.
One of their either the laptop or the projector kept kind of flashing on and off.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. And then last year they were at Nerdapalooza, but they were right after my set or right before my set. I forget which, but I was either setting up or breaking down while they were performing. So I ended up getting my stuff. I think they were right after my set. So I was breaking down my stuff and I brought it all up to my room, and then came back down and I caught like the last song and a half of their set.
Well, so, I had never even heard of the COG before they were announced last year as the guests of honor, I'll be honest with you. And, you know, I said, oh, it's this fun thing. Okay, that sounds like a lot of fun. And, wow, when when they got going, I was I guess it takes a lot to blow me away from a musical standpoint, but their presentation was so spot on. And they play and sing really, really, really well. Not to say that others don't, but it's like, wow, to be able to get all that together musically and have a drum bot programmed there and do it in character and pull it and to really bring it off the way they did was like, oh my God. I mean, I was just digging the hell out of it.
Yeah, it's quite the impressive show. And I love Drumbot. I love the whole concept of Drumbot and the fact that they were able to program it so that he drums in sync with the songs. It's not just random pictures up there. He's actually, you know, when there's a cymbal, he's, you know, Drumbot is, you know, hitting towards the cymbal and, you know.
And when it's just like the bass going a doom, 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 he twirls his drumstick during the motion.
And you can see his head go up, 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 up when the bass drum. That is awesome.
Love that.
Yeah. So, and the other thing I like is that the week leading up to the con, they had been posting in the MarsCon group and on their own group what songs should be performed, and I, like, listed in the poll thing, like, all of my favorite COG songs, and they performed pretty much all of them. So that was really cool. So I really loved the set of songs they did as well. So, yeah.
I shall bow to the COG from now on.
COG.
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 So COG. Then... Yeah, Saturday we took the big group picture, which is always an ordeal, but it happens.
We took Cirque du Soleil pictures too.
Yeah, we finally got decent Cirque du Soleil pictures.
Thank you, Davros.
Yes, Davros is doing awesome work. Then after dinner, we all gathered in the lobby, or many of us did, to play the Boob Tree game, which probably had more people than it should have, and it definitely should not have included Brian of the Gothsicles, because he had no fucking clue how to do anything in that game and just kind of fucked it up. Every chain when it got to him, basically, it was like, forget everything that just happened up until now. Which I know is supposed to be part of the game, but realistically, we want people who are making an honest attempt to do what the game is about, and
that makes it funnier.
I think he was just drawing cats and penises on everyone that, you know, came along, no matter what it was supposed to be. But, we videotaped the results, and I believe Carrie has the cards so that she can look at all the fun that ensued, because her and Josh donated a couple of starting lines from those. So yeah. Any other comments on that? Other than Lindsay and Kyle both being incredible artists.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Autograph those and like sell them to fund next year's MarsCon. Those are great.
Yes. Kyle gave me one of his drawing markers that he buys from like Chinatown in LA or something. It's a really nifty marker. So anyway, let's see. Saturday evening, there were parties leading up to Dementia Smackdown Wrestling MarsCon 2012 Battle Royal, which again, because of my voice, Duke Flyboy du jour was not there, but was instead replaced by some character played by Earl and the almighty Nate Boy. Filling in. So that was fun.
Ratting and wrestling with the old powerful Nate Boy.
And I knew about the secret player that was going to be introduced, but I kept my mouth shut because the secret 20th wrestler was Super Horse.
God, that was funny.
Who made his entrance and then fell down and rolled all the way to the...
Yeah. Oh my God, that was hysterical.
So in the ring, Super Horse was fighting Chris, and it was pretty epic. So, but
I was hitting myself.
But yeah, and of course everyone boos me because, you know, I'm an asshole apparently.
No, in wrestling you're a heel.
You're an asshole. That's right.
So yeah, I don't want to give away who won in case people want to watch it over on Mr. Tuesday's feed there, so go to again blip.tv/mr-tuesday to see the Dementia Smackdown Wrestling MarsCon 2012 Battle Royal. And here comes Sarah to say something.
So after that was done, everybody had left the room. I turned to Jared and I said,
I'm right here.
Oh.
And he lost it.
Well, you know, maybe we'll have to have, you know, a separate battle royal of all the female members of Cirque du Soir, which of course includes Carrie, and then, you know, Beth Kinderman, DJ Particle, you know, Remy D, the Damsels of Dorkington, you know, try to get all of the, you know, Carla Ulbricht, get like the all female battle royal or something.
Here's
that'd be cool.
Anyway,
just don't put me in there doing that. Do it as mud
wrestling.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Jared if there's a patch for that. So, anyway, we got about 11 minutes left. So, did any of us make it to the Dementia Fan Showcase on Sunday morning?
Yes, I was there.
Cool. How was that?
It was good. I watched one rotation, and then I had to go get set up for my show.
Awesome.
But it was good. Jeff Rubin was there. Nate Boy did a song. Derwood did a song. Who else?
DJ Particle.
She hosted it. I don't think she actually... Oh, she sang later. I walked by the room as she was singing. There were five people in the rotation, I think, but I can't remember who they were offhand.
Yeah, I always make an effort to be there, but this year I kind of felt like I needed to try to get as much sleep as I could, you know, because of my voice and all that stuff. So yeah. But I'm very happy that Emmy continues to host that and make that happen, because I think it's an important thing that, you know, the fans get a chance to get up and do something. So, word.
and Emmy just bought some tracks for my album, I just found out. Yay!
Yay! So that leads us to Devo Spice!
I did a show.
Yeah, so first of all, sorry for having to lip-sync my parts for Platform Wars, but...
Oh, that's fine. You totally needed to save your voice for your set.
Yeah. But yeah, as always, you did a great set, especially with the lead-in explanations on Lil Wayne for how to sing.
That's kind of necessary for the con crowd. Otherwise, they're not going to get the parody.
So why didn't you show the video that you made along with you singing it? You
know? I didn't have time to make a thing on my iPod. I was planning to do that. I had planned to do a couple of things that it didn't happen. I'm still trying to figure out a way to do stuff between songs, like during the stand-up bits. Because right now, because I'm just using my iPod, I play a video. Once the video ends, it goes back to the menu screen, and then nothing goes out the signal, so that the projector goes blue. So I'm trying to figure out a way to either show something or have something. And I think, you know, if I can write my own app, like I wrote my own program for that used to run it off the Mac Mini. I was my own custom program that I wrote. I could do whatever I wanted to between songs. I can have one song go right into the next one and stuff. You know, I may look into writing my own app to run off my iPod so I can play the videos and then have something in between. That way I don't have to switch over to the PowerPoint viewer to do the How to Speak Hip Hop thing and then switch back to the video players to play the songs. And so it'd be nice if I could just do it in order and, you know, have something on screen between songs and do little bits and stuff. So
since we're going to want to develop that for the Cirque du Soir live show anyway, that might be a good reason. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing for me to do.
Well, you an earworm. I hadn't seen that performed with the video before, so that was quite awesome. so shout
yeah,
out to that.
I like doing that song.
Especially the we animation with MC Lars's mouth moving in that one part. So more comments for Devo Spice, others?
Awesome.
Thank you.
So, okay.
I like the first two songs. Before I had to run to the airplane.
Yes.
So, sorry about that. I hope to book things in a more intelligent manner next time.
That's quite all right. You were there for the song I needed you for. That's all that matters.
Well, the important thing is you booked it for the right weekend. Isn't that right, Chris?
Hey. .com. Yes. .com.
So that led to me.
You.
So what did you all think of the opening bit featuring Insane Ian?
I was there in spirit.
So did you see it?
Was that
the very beginning of my show where it fades in and you see Insane Ian standing there?
Yes.
I already said, shut up, Ian.
Yes. So
No, that was very cool.
I'm very appreciative.
That was scaling new heights of awesome there.
Very appreciative to Ian for contributing to my new concept for a video show. So,
I really like the way you put that show together.
Yeah,
that came out.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out for years how to do a video show, that you know isn't seemingly too much of a blatant ripoff of the way Weird Al does it, or the way you do it, or the way the Gossicles does it, etc. I wanted to figure out my own way to do it, and I remembered the way Carrie Dalby once described my DVD, The Ego Has Landed, to people, was it's like you've turned on the Comedy Music Channel during the Luke Ski program, and you're watching it, and then the commercials come in between each thing. So I thought, well, what if I kind of took that idea to the next step and made it like, oh, it's the Fump Channel, and, you know, so theoretically there's other programming that exists on this channel, so I want to incorporate other people from the Fump into it in funny ways, and, it also brings in the commercial aspect with the, you know, what's Luke plugging now, you know, jingle as performed by Chris. Thank you very much for that.
Sweetly.
And, you know.
That was cool.
Yeah, and threw in the commercials for Bad Rapport and my album and the Fump in general and Dr. Demento and stuff. And then I had the videos for Snoopy the Dog by Jared Perez, Marvel Poppins, which I had done myself. The premiere of the fan vid for Blues Campbell by Dr. Don, which was totally epic. Thank you so much, Don, for doing that. It came out so great.
Bloody and awesome.
And it's on YouTube now. And then the two videos, I actually made the last one first, Walking Silly, my Monty Python song, and Smeghead, my Red Dwarf song. So those were my attempts number one and two at making my own fan vids, and I'm really happy with the way they came out. So yeah. The only thing is, I don't want to put them on YouTube just yet. I want to wait a while because if I get booked at Nerdapalooza, I want people there to be surprised by what they see. And also, I know that Red Dwarf is coming back to TV sometime this calendar year, I think in the fall. So I'm probably going to want to put Smeghead on the Fump when that comes, so that way I could put it on YouTube at the same time. So,
okay.
So in the meantime, if you want to see either of those fan vids live, you'll have to catch me doing my video show at some convention in the future. I am wanting to do a Kickstarter to get my own audio video rig happening. I probably won't be able to get it done in time for MarCon, but I'm definitely going to try to have it done by Gen Con Indie. And by then, since I'll be doing a full 1 hour concert, I'll expand it to include more videos and songs, some of which are already done, like something like A Hobbit and previous fan vids and other new stuff that I want to do. So anyway, so thank you all so much. And obviously because of my voice, I had to sing things in a lower octave than I wanted to, but I managed to get through the show okay, which made me really happy. So I appreciate everyone putting up with that.
Yeah, considering how sick you were, I thought you did really good.
Thanks.
The dog.
Purple Monkey Dishwasher.
That's right.
Yes, because you all texted me that just to annoy the hell out of me. So, yes. Power Salad.
Yes.
Awesome show. So much great, new, awesome, funny music. I intentionally avoided hearing those songs in other places you posted them so I could experience it live for the first time at MarsCon. And man, what a great set of new music. So
thank
you. Kudos to you.
Yay. I've been kudoed. I wanted to make it more, yeah, I wanted to get a lot of the newer stuff in. I mean, I really feel like I don't know if there's as much funny ha-has in the music on this album. I think there are, but I really was going for the quality of the music this time. And I suppose some of the funnier ha-ha-er ones aren't as adaptable to live performance. So those will be on the album. But I really was looking for updating the show quite a bit. And I am also looking to, again, really nail down this whole multimedia video dealy. I did that once or twice in performances. I know one MarsCon I did that. But seeing the Cog and seeing your show and, you know, really taking notes on what Devo and Shoebox have done the last couple of years, I know we all came out of this weekend with a lot of ideas, didn't we, for the future?
Yes.
Yes, I've been trying to do a video thing myself, and listening to you guys talk about this, I realize I don't know where my MP3 player is since my last gig, and I'm, like, sort of listening to you guys and in a panic mode trying to find it right now because it has my videos on it.
So,
yeah.
So let's.
If you absolutely lose them, I think I still have a bunch of them on my Mac Mini from one of the times when we performed together.
Good to know. Thank you.
So then we had the final two events, which kind of got smooshed into one, which are the Fump Jukebox and Dementia SmackDown concert. Fump Jukebox featured Jeff Rubin, Brett Glass, Derwood Bowen, Beth Kinderman, and the Feng Shui Ninjas. And I think they all did great jobs. Would you agree?
They did, yes.
Oh, quite.
And then, yeah, not to gloss over them, just I'm trying to finish up because it's like 2 minutes to 11.
well.
Dementia SmackDown concert went well. I'm very happy that Devo got to perform his Phineas and Ferb cover song with video. That was great.
Is there video of that somewhere?
It's going to end up. Mr. Tuesday's going to put it up. The two shows because they got melded into one, so it may be one big file. But yeah, he's going to put
fine.
It up. And I was very happy with my cover of the Flat 29 improvised song "Bye Bye Ladies" along with TV's Kyle and Chris Mezalesta.
Yeah, that was cool.
So I'm anxious for that to be put up on Blip TV so I can send the link to the Flat 29 guys so they can see the performance. Because I was expecting one of us at some point to have tripped up and screwed up and missed up a rhyme, but nobody did. So
not exactly.
Well, you still made the rhyme. You just didn't do the rhyme I was trying to lead you to do. So
okay.
So yeah, any other comments on things from those two shows that you guys can think of?
Good.
It was fun.
And then we ended with the first ever performance, attempted at a performance of We Are the Fump, which may be the last performance, maybe not, we'll find out. But yeah, I paid Bob $50 to make the background track, so, and I paid a big chunk of money to print up those lyrics, so so who knows if it'll get attempted again in the future, but I'm very happy that we at least gave it a shot once, complete with our weird stalling out at the beginning because the cog wasn't there yet, and also we were told by the con committee to stall for time, which was the first time they've ever asked us to do that ever.
Yeah.
So
milk it while you can.
Yeah. But I thought it turned out great and fun and all, and then after that, many of us went to cons and ate Mongolian barbecue.
And yes, I went back to New Jersey.
Yes.
And it's midnight.
So that's the MarsCon wrap-up, and I'm probably going to take this entire MarsCon discussion and copy and paste it into Bad Rapport because I don't feel like doing it twice.
Okay.
I get royalties.
End job!
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Am I going to get a squid this time?
No, you're going to get shot.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.
Guys, I don't think we have enough material written to make a full album.
Well, what other ideas on our list haven't we done yet?
Let's see. Appalachian Idol, Body of Christ Appetizers, CSI Westboro, Alternate Reality Name That Tune, and Mrs. Butterworth as a Porn Star.
Yeah, okay.
I think we should do another sketch that has Tile Guy in it.
Oh, I've got a great idea. Let's do improv.
Yeah.
I did professional improv comedy for 8 years back in the 90s. What?
Nothing.
Anyway, I can just show you guys the basics as we go along, and we can make up a whole bunch of sketches on the spot.
I don't know.
Oh, come on. It's just like freestyling. You can do it.
But I...
Chris, click record.
Recording.
Okay, let's start with a simple scene. We're in an electronics store. I'll be the manager. Shoebox, you're the new employee I'm training. Devo, you're the customer bringing in a faulty TV for repair. And Chris, we'll call you in as other characters as needed. Ready? Go! Hello, Randy. Welcome to your first day working at Circuit Central.
My name isn't Randy.
Oh, my mistake, Tim. You look just like Randy. Now, it'll be your job to work the customer service desk. Here comes a customer now. Hello, sir. Welcome to Circuit Central. How can we be of assistance?
My TV doesn't work.
I'm so sorry, sir. What exactly is the problem with your set?
My TV doesn't work.
I understand, sir. But what specifically is malfunctioning with the unit?
TV no worky.
All right. Do you have a receipt?
My TV.
That's okay, sir. Tim, take this fine customer's credit card and look up his purchase on the computer so that we can see what extended service plan he has.
No.
Well, if you don't know how, you'll have to be trained, Tim.
Creeps me out when you call me Tim. Call me Shoebox.
Shoebox, you're not allowed to say no in improv.
What the hell are you talking about?
In proper real improv, it's taught that denial puts a stop to the action in a scene and keeps it from moving forward. So performers aren't supposed to say no in a scene.
That's stupid.
Well, let's get back to the scene. Sir, would you like a complimentary beverage while you wait for your TV? Tim!
Shoebox!
Go to the break room and get this man a beverage.
No!
I'm your boss! Just... Oh, here comes Randy! Randy, would you please look up this customer's information on the computer?
Tile! I want some tile!
Chris, tile guy is great and all, but he's not a part of this scene.
Okay!
Tim!
Shoebox!
Tell me the make and model of this man's TV.
No!
Sir, can you tell me the make and model of your TV?
It's a TV.
Oh, a woman has walked up next to you. She must be your wife. Ma'am, can you tell me the make and model of your husband's TV?
Honey mustard!
Oh, I'm mistaken. This woman is a mental patient. Quick, call the sanitarium.
No.
God damn it, Shoebox, stop denying me.
So wait, you're saying in improv nobody ever says no?
Exactly. Improv performers do yes and exercises to help us get in the mindset of always accepting new ideas brought into the scene and keeping it moving forward.
All right, fine. I'll try things your way.
Okay, go. Shoebox!
Tim!
Tim! Help this customer with his TV.
Alrighty, sir. Well, according to our records, in order to fix this, we're going to need to order a special part from Upper Volta.
Yes, this TV company is Upper Volta's first tech export.
The part we need is a caribou pancreas.
Yes, an Upper Volta caribou pancreas. Those are very rare.
And according to our records, Mr. Customer, sir, your name is Baltazar Fetus Eater, and you are my mother.
What? I mean, yes.
I'm your mother.
And before we started working, the manager here told me he's in love with you.
I did?
Yes, you told me to go online and become an ordained minister to marry you.
What?
Do you, Circuit Central Manager, take Baltazar Fetus Eater to be your lawfully wedded wife? If so, say yes.
Yes!
And do you, Baltazar Fetus Eater, take Deucey Deucebag McDeucerton to be your lawfully wedded husband? If so, make no distinguishable noises. Mazel tov! You are now husband and wife. You may now shove a sea anemone up your urethra.
Yes! I'll get up!
And look who's here to preside over your consummation. It's the President of the United States of America!
Hand job!
Ah!
And he's just decreed that from now on, all people must talk like him all the time.
I want time!
Okay!
Hand job!
Okay!
That's okay, I can wait!
Can't you motherfuckers ever just go along with my ideas? Goddamn Upper Volta fucking caribou pancreas asshole Balthazar Fetus Eater bitches! Del Close would not approve of this! Ah!
He was right, that was funny.
Yeah, that was great. Chris, save this file, will you?
Saved.
And scene.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
For more Squid, why not visit your local library?
Awesome!
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.